want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello, la 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 la. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak on the Best of Don and Mike Wednesday edition. A good show for you today, Mike. Some amazing news for Mike. We discussed Buzz Burbank and his weird television habits, but we get started with a real in-studio guest, a guy I really admire who's very, very funny, and I believe he's out plugging a new book right now. You enjoy him in the Washington Post and all a lot of papers across the United States. It's author Dave Barry on the Best of Don and Mike.
Here's Dave Barry.
How are you, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing. Dude, how you doing?
All right, and you?
We're doing great.
Where am I sitting here?
You need headphones or not?
Well, I don't know. Right, do I? If you want them, they're
right. You want them? Grab some headphones.
You better? Me better? No.
Yeah, we're just not really organized.
Put them on if you want.
All right, I'm going to put them on because everyone else is wearing them.
I'm not.
Okay, there you go. As soon as you put them on, we'll play our music for you.
Okay, good.
That's our writer's music.
Now, hold on. You got to let it kick in for a second.
All right.
I love
that. That is just what it's like.
I know.
Taking me right back to my office.
So, Dave Barry.
Yeah. First of all, I apologize for being late.
That's okay.
No,
that's awfully nice of you. No, with us, though, you're on time. But because we had counted on you being on time, and we're always late.
I heard you talking about bad movies, so I was enjoying, you know, being late, because I got to hear that discussion.
Thank you for listening to the show on your way over.
You're welcome.
And
you're welcome.
Thank you for arriving. We didn't think that you were
going to. Thank you for not smoking.
Here we all are.
We're just so polite.
You bring out the politeness in it, because we like your stuff.
You're a funny dude, and you know that, but the stuff you write is really, really funny. I mean, it's laughing.
It is funny.
It's Captain Eloquence over there.
Mm-hmm. All right, what do you want me to say?
We told you.
You suck.
You are.
You know, you're awful. Your columns are rather contrite.
Let's talk some smack.
Or
young kids would deal.
Or if you listen, I'll tell you one of two things. Either the truth, that when I read you on Sunday, which is when we get you here, I really laugh out loud most times.
Well, thank you.
Or I could tell you that you are just a cheap bastard, because what you've done is taken all of your
columns
and put them into a book. So if you happen to have read Dave Barry's columns, why buy the book?
We're relying on people to have an incredibly short attention span out there.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of somewhat like radio.
Welcome.
Right?
So anyway.
So you, I mean, it's a great gig.
It is.
If you can get it, because you can take everything you do on a weekly basis, and then you can just put it in a book, send it out there, and make money on it all over again.
Why is it even legal?
Why should it be?
I know.
It's a great scam.
What exactly do you do for a living?
I tell you, I earn my living. I'm sweating here. Can't you see?
Look at these hands.
Oh, I know. These guys are toiling away here.
Look at these stevedore hands here.
If it is a question of who works harder, us or you, no question, we're the winners.
Yeah.
We're the heroes.
Yes.
You think you work harder than I? You really think that? You believe that?
No, I think the winners would be that we work less hard.
I see. Okay, I see what you're saying. All right.
I mean, because you ever get blocked?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would think it would be. Well,
that's why they make. You mean that kind of block?
I think it would be very difficult.
Why is he bringing that up so early?
I mean, how do you do it? How do you every.
Mike, that's why we're better than he is.
Why is that?
Because you never get blocked.
We can't get blocked.
There's two of you.
We're stuck with you right now for 20 minutes. How would it be if we just said, hey, well, he's a funny dude, but we really don't have anything to ask him done. We're blocked. I think I'll go sit on my porch and have some tea.
Right. We've all heard interviews like that, though. I mean, really. When like the interviewer runs completely out of gas. Usually when there's a pause and he goes, so what lies ahead for you? And please answer this at great length, because... Anyway.
Well, one of the problems is when you're doing an interview, and if you're interviewing somebody that, A, you know nothing about, and B, you really don't care about, that's one of the toughest interviews to do, because you have to fake it. And then you say, like, well,
How do you find Washington?
And see, this is what you don't know about us, because obviously you don't know us from Adam, that normally if we get a guest on the show, it's someone we don't like.
You're cruel and vicious.
And well, when they leave, we are. Mm-hmm. But now here, look at this. You come in and you get really, from both of us, you're funny. We like reading it. What's the first thing you do? You go, oh, okay. You know. It's like I just gave Dave the finger, which in essence what he was doing.
Of course.
So as long as we're headed down that road, how about that sitcom that was based on your life?
You're referring to Baywatch.
I think it was Dave's World.
It was Dave's World.
And it starred
Harry Anderson.
And right.
All right.
And I have to tell you, when that was...
How about Shadow Stevens? Radio guys always are so excited.
Not us.
Met
him.
That was sarcasm.
Right.
but still, Harry Anderson. And these guys will back me up. Whenever that show came on, I said, wow, now this is a good premise for a show.
Yeah.
The Life of Dave Barry. He's a great writer. But, oh, my God.
You didn't like Harry Anderson?
Did you ever see Night Court?
Yeah.
See his magic act?
Yes!
I'm looking at you
Are
right
you
now.
Are you saying you had a hand in this casting?
No, I didn't.
Did you have anything to do with the casting?
No, I
Harry
didn't,
Anderson?
But I have to say, I liked Harry Anderson.
Mm.
So there. Who do you like? Okay, let me ask you this. If you had to have somebody play you...
Oh, there are probably 15 or 20 actors that could have done a much better job, and the first one that comes to mind is Al Molinaro. I think he would have been fantastic. Rob, thank you for supporting me.
Well, yeah, physically.
And perfect, Mike, listen, really perfect. Who was your choice?
Always my first choice. Dick Van Patten. I mean, no matter what it is. If you're asking about movies, film, stage.
Because you look a lot like Dick Van Patten. And yes. I'm sure you get that. Always.
Can't go anywhere.
I get laid constantly.
chicks dig
Dick Van Patten.
Hey, Rob, do me a favor.
Who puts Dick in Dick Van
Patten? Get Dick Van Patten on the phone. We'll show you Dave Barry.
Close personal friend of the show. And
really?
We have. I think we've mentioned both.
I have it memorized.
Both are close
you
personal friends.
You have his number memorized?
I'm gonna
have you ever had the pleasure of meeting Dick Van Patten?
I have not.
I can't say, but I'd be honored.
He is a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
And
a close personal friend?
He's a close personal friend of ours. We don't have many show business friends. We really don't. And if you listen to Dick Van Patten, you might agree. We still don't have show business friends. But
Do I hear you,
Rob? You know what? I messed it up. I did not know it.
Oh, look up the number.
Thought I knew it.
Did you just eat something, Rob?
No.
You have real bad breath today.
Yeah, it's the Chinese food I had last night.
Well, I hope you brush your teeth since then.
I mean,
he's over here breathing real heavy on me.
Can I ask you a question while we're getting Dick Van Patten on the phone?
Sure, because otherwise all the remaining viewers, listeners we have will be gone.
Because I'm really curious about this as far as blocking. Like if you're out, what is your work schedule? When do you have specific times where you have to really deliver, or can you call your editors and say, listen, I am out this week? I mean, you got to deliver, right? You've got to come up with, and what is that schedule like now? Is it every week? Is it every, I mean, or do you have a storehouse of these things? I mean, how does it work? I'm curious about that.
But I only have to write one column a week. I have to write other stuff. I have to write books.
That's all?
Yeah.
One column a week, that's all?
How many columns a week do you write?
thus far on today's show, I've probably written five columns.
I mean, just write it down.
You probably didn't hear this part. There's this tool. Now, maybe you're one of these guys like doctors don't like talking bad about the other doctors.
Well, it depends who it is.
Okay, it's Bob Levy.
I'm not going to say a word.
Listen.
We've had a long-running feud with Bob Levy.
You don't get along with Bob Levy?
We do not get along with
Unrelated
Bob Levy.
Unrelated to you, but I brought it up because you're coming on the show today. So here's a columnist that I enjoy. This guy is just a tool. Now, he writes in his column today, he names a lady's name, but doesn't say where she's from. According to his column, because Bob always preaches to follow the letter of the law, she was jaywalking, and he pulled her out and saved her life.
Pulled her out from harm's way. Yeah. Describes these heroic efforts.
Jaywalking is illegal?
See? There you go.
There's a real guy.
Okay, now that's why Dave Barry is Dave Barry and Bob Levy is Bob Levy.
Right. And as Bob Levy says, we are all sentries on the bridge. There you go.
All right, I've been given Dick Van Patten's number.
All right, we're calling Dick Van Patten. So once a week, every week, you got to deliver. And that's it.
Well, I have to actually write more.
So you can write two or three and keep them in the, like, file.
Well, I have to write other things. Like, so I'm trying to get across it. Right?
It's hard to do on this show. I know that.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we get ready.
Okay, I'm ready. And the great thing is, if he's not there, there's always a joke of the week.
There was the last time we called his answering machine.
There always is. Every time. It's always, hi, this is Dick and this is Pat.
If you miss Dick or you miss Pat, leave a message. That is that.
It's the truth.
It is. Oh, there it is. Here we go.
Dick, another great one. Dick, Don and Mike Cawley here with famous author Dave Barry, who just wanted to pass along a personal greeting to you.
Dave is a guest on the show. Say hi to Dick, Dave. Go ahead.
Dick, you're a god, and I will never forget the nights that you and I shared.
Dave, that's funny.
But his name.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, God.
Hey, between you and me, big guy.
Okay,
there you go. That's our call to Dick.
Great moment.
Oh, wow.
Nice. I wish I had that thing so we could hear that.
I know.
But that's not like one of those machines.
So wait, I mean, does he know who you are?
Yeah. We've been to his house. We've been to his house in California.
Okay. And were you arrested?
No.
He wasn't there at the time. We used the crowbar.
We were the guests at his home. And once we played a donkey basketball game with girls in bikinis, and Dick Van Patten wore a giant crown and had a big donkey scepter.
You're not lying about this.
You could make this up. Every word is true.
We're telling the truth.
There's no business like show business.
You're goddamn right.
Top that one. The battle that we fight every day with the company.
It changes, too.
Well, who sets these rules?
FCC.
You can. So, like, let's say, I'm just curious now, and I'm really, this is very serious, and I hope the people who run this company are listening.
Just use initials if you're going to say bad words. Okay. I'll tell you what you can say.
If you're discussing, like, AIDS, and you're having a very serious discussion,
then you can get away with it.
Yeah, if it's a clinical discussion and you're seriously talking about an issue, and
but if it's Dick Van Patten,
they know it's comedy, and but it changes every week.
I'll be damned. Can you say that? Did he say gum and swizzled?
Gum swizzled.
Right.
Yes. And yesterday we created a new one that I believe was a term used in the 20s. You're the Dean's Peanuts.
See, he liked it. Yeah. Rob, everybody loves the Dean's Peanuts. You are the Dean's Peanuts.
Here's the conundrum, though. What if we were having a discussion with Dave Barry about Dick Van Patten having AIDS?
Mm-hmm. What to do?
Would he be able to say what he said?
Would he be able to say those words?
This is how rumors get started.
True.
And I'm so glad we're not actually broadcasting this on the air. Because any of this were ever to get out.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Man, oh, man.
So you, let me see, besides being...
The Dean Peanut.
The Dean Peanut. Yeah, it works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you need to trademark that.
Yeah, and a raccoon.
Fair and balanced.
You can steal that for your column if you like. She was the Dean's Peanut.
Dean's Peanuts. I don't know where it came from. It doesn't matter anymore.
No,
it doesn't.
It was out there yesterday during the show. So you have this book of recycled columns. I'm just making a segue to do your plug.
Oh, yeah. It's called Boogers Are My Beat, and it's for sale at bookstores. People could just go in, give them money, and get this book. Or... Yeah. Mail me money directly and let's skip the book off.
Okay. What is it again?
Boogers are my beat.
Boogers are my beat.
The cover is climbing up like looks like Mount Rushmore.
And it looks like I'm clinging to the George Washington figure on Mount Rushmore. But, of course, I really didn't do that for the cover.
Right. Huh. Well, now I'm disappointed.
I climbed the Statue of Liberty and we just changed it. It looked like
very good.
So you have a bad marriage.
You had a bad marriage.
Well, I was married.
You were married.
Then I got remarried.
Oh, well, yeah. No, see, I didn't know that. All I know is that I remember, see, there are these Dave Barry things that flash by. You know, like the thing on the bottom of this, on CNN, it goes by and you see something and you see, like, Dave Barry, full-blown AIDS, Dick Van Patten, and then it's gone by.
You don't even
peanuts. And then you got to wait 20 minutes for the thing to cycle back around. Right. Anyway,
do your columns that run nationally, are they in sequence?
How long did you... How long ago did you get divorced?
Well, what's your party affiliation?
None of your business.
Well, that's my business, Yuri.
Oh, okay. I'm here. So everything that ever happened in your life is your business?
You had a TV
show. Mr. Radio Man?
You had a TV show based on your life starring Harry Anderson.
That's right.
Who was the woman on the TV show?
Her name was, I can't remember.
Who was the actress?
She's very nice.
She played your ex-wife?
Yes. And she was, I can't remember her name.
Okay.
But she was nice. Mm-hmm. Nice lady.
That is the Dean's peanut.
Mm-hmm. So you remarried?
Yes,
I did. Well, that was 7 years ago. So okay. You're like, this is old.
All right, dude, to the party, I'm sorry.
So you're on your second marriage now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you?
My second marriage also failed.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a two-time loser, Dave. Yeah, I thought I'd share that with you.
So you just can't get along with women of any kind?
I think that might be the case.
Maybe.
I think, you know, you might want to ask my friend over here what he thinks. He's got thoughts on it, but without saying anything disparaging, of course, because you can't.
About the plaintiff?
You can't. You cannot say, but no, I think I have a problem getting along.
Mike's a complex man. And then he wants to do the sexual move called the Dean's Peanut.
Yes, I know. Oh, and it's fantastic. And no one will
do
it.
And not many people anymore. Really, not many girls can do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like in the old days.
No, not like back in the 20s.
No.
It was great. It was fantastic.
Those days.
So when you listen to radio, and you're down in South Florida, do you listen to anything like this crap we're putting out, or do you listen to NPR? Do you listen to music? What do you listen to on the radio?
No, it's all different, but, you know, they're not. Radio in South Florida is very weird because, first of all, in Miami anyway, more than half the people don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's literally true. So
it's a problem.
You tell me. So, you know, there's a great vast number of radio stations where it's just something, but I don't get it at all. You know, and it's, they're talking about Fidel Castro much of the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
Not saying good things either, I don't think.
And playing salsa music.
And then there's a lot, yeah, mm-hmm. And there's that. And
right.
But, you know, it's like whatever, all the whole, you know, spectrum of radio, talk and music, they have that in Spanish, but that takes up a lot of the dial, so you're not left with too many stations. But I'll tell you what I listen to usually if I listen to oldies, because I'm old. I'm 56 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm old.
You look pretty good for 56, Dave.
Well, thanks very much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Now that you've given up women, maybe you're...
Yeah, you know,
take a look my way, big boy.
Well, you know, I'm actually giving that some thought. But you're a married man, and we can't go any further with that. And that's the way that works.
So I'll give you
your policy.
Chance to be a DJ here.
All right. You let him talk up a record?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Have you ever done any DJ work?
I never did. Never did.
Never did that. All right.
You, you want a long intro?
A short intro?
Can you at least... Do I get a hint for what song it is?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you exactly.
Oh, okay.
Why do I think... I remember... Do you play in a band? Do you have a band?
I'm in a band, a rock band of authors called the Rock Bottom Remainders with Stephen King.
That's right. I remember that.
And we're bad. We're very, very bad.
Do you get a chance to gig a lot with them?
What?
Do you get a chance to gig a lot? Do you go around and play a lot with them?
Gig. I like that.
Gig.
Mike's in a DJ band.
I have a DJ band.
F sharp minor, but we'll just talk music a little bit.
Very cool. I'm a fellow musician.
Yeah. B flat. But anyway, I
Mike's in a DJ band, Dave. You missed that.
Oh.
You missed that.
I have a DJ band, and he hates DJ bands.
You used to hate DJ bands along with me.
Before I started my own DJ band.
Your own DJ. If I may be so.
You know, I'm a drummer.
Oh, I was going to ask you about sex. But
No. I'm just trading on my name, and I'm
so
very,
you're
very bad.
A bad drum. Okay.
Yeah. Very bad.
Very good.
Right. Well, we're coming soon to Look Around Cafe, as Mike continues to trade on his name.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Wait, but you're going to have a cafe?
Yeah, I'm going to have a cafe.
You ever see Larry Sanders?
A little coffee shop.
When Hank had this thing called the Look Around Cafe?
Yeah.
With you and your meal?
Yeah.
Go on an adventure?
Every outside venture that I take on is really designed so that I can be mocked on the show.
It seems to be working.
It's working very well.
Business plan.
Yes, absolutely. It's the business plan.
All right, let me give you a coat. You know Poke Salad Annie?
Yeah, by Elvis version?
We do have the Elvis version, if you'd like that. Or how about Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder?
No.
Let's see.
Like actually,
Still the One by Orleans.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah,
that's
just Still the One.
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second. I'll give you a jingle.
This is the Dave Berry Show you're listening to right now.
We're talking of now.
I really don't know how to.
Do you want to hear the intro first, so you have a rough idea?
Yeah. Okay.
I give you a little.
Even if you've never done it before, you might be good at it. You might be an actor.
I'll give an example.
There's 4:43, everybody. This is Dave Berry. Good afternoon. I'm wearing khaki pants. I got a blue shirt on. I'm sitting here with a couple of fat disc jockeys, and all I can think about right now is. with Dick Van Patten.
That's how you do it.
Something like that.
It's really good.
About 14 seconds you got.
Okay.
You ready? I'll roll the jingle, and the record will start, and it's the Dave Barry Show.
Hey, everybody. It's Dave Barry. Pi is the ratio of circumference and diameter.
No.
Hey, you see, you walked all over the jingle there.
You got to let him sing.
Oh, the jingle.
Yes, the jingle, and then when the music starts, when you start talking. Here we go.
So here we go.
Ready?
Although you got off to a great start.
Thanks.
Here we go.
Hey, the jingle is over and the song's about to start. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. Put your hands together.
Come on, Dad.
Come on, finish it.
Walk it up.
Orleans. Orleans.
Orleans.
Oh, man.
See, I wish I could play guitar like this guy. This guy, this is one of the great guitar solos. There are people out there going, I like this song. Well, stop talking.
You're talking in the middle of it.
Hey, everybody, this is a great song.
One of our favorite songs.
Okay, one of my best. The part I really like is coming up. Listen, okay? Hey, keep listening because it's coming up. This is a DJ who never stops talking up the record. He talks all the way through. You know, when I was a kid, which I was, and this is true. Now, I'm going to tell you a true DJ thing.
All right.
Cousin Brucey was the DJ, the big hot DJ. Cousin Bruce Morrow in New York. And they used to be this big competition in the 60s. Whoever got the Beatles singles first would... play them.
Right.
But then they were concerned that other stations were taping them. So Cousin Brucey, I'm pretty sure, would like every 10 seconds, he'd play it, like every 10 seconds, WABC Cousin, all the way through it.
And
and made you hate Cousin Brucey. It made you want to go and kill Cousin Brucey. And I just say, if you're listening, Cousin Brucey, I hope you die. No, he's a great, guy.
He liked it. Oh, another Orleans song.
Ladies and gentlemen,
go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
It's your show. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's not every day that we think of the Declaration of Independence, but and today is one of those days we're not. So instead, we're going to just play a little tune for you by Orleans called "Dance with Me," and the words.
Oh,
almost so close.
So close.
So very, so close. Very close. So close.
Tricky. Oh, wow.
So close.
Oh, man.
Well done, though.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, you know.
It's fun.
Well done.
How hard is it?
Oh, wow. On the show Dave's World, someone just did an IMDb check. The lovely Beatrice Arthur was on that show.
Really?
Well, wait. Who? What?
On your show,
D. Arthur was on that show.
He was on the credited cast, according to IMDb.com.
He come in later years.
You aren't watching.
Get your glasses out and read it, Dave.
Who was the wife, though?
Who was the wife? That's fine.
No, she was Beatrice Arthur.
Delaine Matthews.
That's who. Okay.
Okay. Beatrice, if you're listening, and we know you are, we love you. We kid because we love.
And now I will get serious with you for 1 second because I saw the VH1 thing about Warren Zevon.
My friend Warren.
And I thought the best part of it, and really, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass, was when you got together and had dinner with him.
Oh, yeah.
And
what a night.
And he was in such a state. Will you tell us about what that was like, that you were the guy who literally is living minute by minute?
Yeah. Well, I actually know Warren through this band I'm in. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, Carl Hyacinth, a great writer and a friend of Warren's, and Carl said, hey, Warren might be willing to join, play with you guys. So I called him up. And he said, yeah. And he flew out from L.A. and everybody loved him. And he was just great. Mm-hmm. Very kind of low-key. Like, we would play Werewolves of London. And Warren would insist that he play it. But Stephen King had to sing it. Because I said, I've always wanted to hear him sing. So, rock star, but he doesn't want to be in front.
And he handled his situation.
Unbelievable. So, anyway. Really amazing. When he found out he had cancer, we all called him and we all said how bad we felt. And he was so incredibly calm and funny and upbeat about it, and accepting. And anyway, I went out and had dinner with him and he called me and said, I'm going to come, but there's going to be a camera guy. Is that okay? I said, yes, all right. He said, all right with you, it's all right with me. So we went to, dinner, and it was funny because I knew in my heart it was the last time I was ever going to see him. Mm-hmm. At that point, they told him he only had a couple of weeks, really. He lived as it happened, a few more months, but I knew I wasn't going to see him again. I don't get out to L.A. a lot and everything. Despite that fact, I don't believe I've ever laughed harder in a meal. We were like 2 hours sitting there in this Beverly Hills hotel restaurant. Everybody's turning around and staring. We're just howling with laughter, weeping with laughter. I mean, just everything struck me as So, and what we were talking about most of the time was the fact that he was going to die, you know? And, like, what are the good side things of that? You know, like, wow. Warren, you could get a tattoo. Warren, you know? That guy. And he's, like, you know, he was such an incredible guy that he was, you know, he's sitting there making jokes about it.
You know, and I know he obviously was going through the worst. So he's no longer with us. But as I watched that show on VH1, I thought, really, how tough it was for you two. And I wasn't friends with him, so I don't know. So I'm imagining... Well, I'm not friends with anybody in this room, but I'm imagining if I was with a friend, and that friend was dying, and it was your job, and he said, I don't want to go out and be, you know, down, let's have a great time. That's a tough role for you as the friend to play to be able to laugh with Warren Zevon.
Well, and it was, he made it easy for me. He knew, he recognized it. Until, well, you didn't see, they didn't thank God show when we said goodbye, because then I just, you know, completely lost it. But have you heard his CD, The Wind?
The new one, yes. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. As you mean, you know, I cannot listen to it too many times, you know, because just,
right.
But that's an incredible the way. Boy, we certainly changed the tone of this radio show, haven't we?
Well, no, that's all right, though.
But because, yeah. We are guys who are capable of doing that.
Yeah. And it is you've heard a lot about this. He's a good friend of David Letterman, and he did it was a wonderful segment, his last appearance on the Letterman show. He seems to, he's kind of set the standard in how to handle this. And I think if more people, I find in this country, we're pretty freaked out about the subject of death.
Right.
More probably than any other country in the world.
Right.
And I got a lesson from that guy that's really the way, boy, not everybody can do it. Because it takes a tremendous amount of personal courage to be able to do that. But I would think that would be the standard, that if something, if the chips are dealt to you like that, you handle it like he handled it. And I think it would make it a better situation for both yourself and people around you that love you. I would think so. And who knows if we can do that? I mean, you never know until it happens to you. But you know.
The complete absence of self-pity.
Right.
You know, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
No, but not once did he say, I mean, he made jokes about his lifestyle, but never did you get the feeling that Warren felt that was unfair.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So will you laugh with Dick Van Patten?
I'll hold your hand to the end.
When you guys get together, when it's finally time to pass, but there's a
beat.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
Settle this, and you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're on his machine forever. He'll save that, I'm sure.
All right, I'll give you one more record. You like the Spinners? You like Rubber Band Man?
I'm not sure I know Rubber
Band Man. Hand me down my walking cane. How about The Power of Love by Huey Lewis? How about Touch Me by the Doors?
Let's do Power of Love.
Power of Love? All right, hold on.
You know how it starts, though.
Got number four. It goes, bum, 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 bum.
Now, do this a lot? Just play parts of records?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because we can't play them in their entirety anymore.
It's an art form.
We fought for years not to have to play them.
All right. Do you need a test run? Are you ready?
No, I'm ready, because you know what? I don't think it'll do any better.
Here's the jingle.
Hey, everybody. I forgot. Oh, yeah, it's the Huey Lewis. They used to have a career, but they still got records out there. And Huey, if you're listening, I know you are. Thanks for all the love. And this all goes out to you. When are you going to start singing, Huey? Well, this one's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's coming up.
Okay, pretty soon now, Huey's going to lay it on you.
Almost. So close.
So close.
So very close.
So you guys all know that. You've got like incountable numbers of brain cells devoted to when songs actually...
Don has done this and it really has this...
He's a master. He's a god.
He is the master of doing it.
And you can even do it with a short one. Watch this one. Hey, good afternoon. How is it that these guys, the Jaggers, are still alive, yet the great Warren Zevon is gone?
Hey, girl.
There it is. Random thoughts.
Right, bright, not a bingo.
That's all you got to do. You fill up 8 seconds at a time.
That was wonderful. I mean, it was like vicious. It was
true.
Yet,
all done in the context of a good top 40 radio.
I watched it happen right here, ladies and gentlemen.
I think you'd be very good if you practiced.
The Dean's Peanut.
Use that in your next column.
I got to get it in.
You're out. You can see Dave Barry here in D.C. tonight at Olson's Books, Wilson Boulevard Courthouse. That's in Alexandria.
Me typing in the background.
Hope it's not flooded down there. Yeah. Dave, I did that in a good way.
Yes,
we're fans.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed myself.
Keep making everybody laugh. You're
keep
wonderful.
Keep being the wonderful guys you are.
And it was wonderful having you on
Barry,
the show.
It really is a pleasure meeting you.
Fair. Thanks, guys.
You, without question, are the Dean's Peanuts.
Now, get out.
All right, get out of here. We'll talk about you after
bye
you go. Now.
Bye. There goes
Dave Barry, ladies and gentlemen. Give a nice round of applause.
Pretty good guest.
Yeah, there he is. Nice guy. Of course, you know that. I think if you read his columns, he's just a funny guy.
kind of a square, I thought, when he came in.
Yeah, but then,
wow. Till he dropped off with Dick Van Patten and everybody.
Wow, that was fun.
That's a good guest.
That is a great guest.
That's a good booking.
Yeah, that's good. You know, every now and then.
We should just stop the show now.
Yeah.
Okay. You ever think that? That right now, maybe we've peaked?
I think this... See, the nice thing about yesterday's show is the best part of the show came at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
This could very well be the best part of the show today.
No, I don't think so.
You think there's more?
Because I know there's more.
Well, I know you do because it's right in front of you. I don't. I don't have that luxury.
I've got it here. Yeah, we've got more. You bet your ass. Who do you think that guy is with him?
Can I talk one up?
Oh, yeah.
Please, because you did it and Dave did it, and I didn't get a chance.
All right, hold on a second, Mike.
I'd love Still the One if you had it. But I mean,
I don't. How about Touch Me by the Doors?
I don't know Touch Me, but okay, I'll do it.
Well, let me see what's on the CD. Power of Love? You got it.
Right.
Power of Love. Power of Love. We have a link to Dave Berry's website at WJFK.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd certainly like to thank Dave Berry for coming on the show. He's a fantastic writer, and you know something, after the time we've spoken to him, he's an okay guy, too. He liked us, we liked him. At least that's what I think. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but I really want to say, Dave, thanks for coming all the way up from South Florida, having a great time. You are the Dean's Peanut.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nicely.
There you go.
That whole thing was just to say the Dean's Peanuts one more time.
Inspiring.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're working an album rock, you go.
You're listening to X-105. This song is the Dean's Peanuts. X-105 rocks.
Yeah.
The Dean's Peanuts.
Well done. Do you want one, Buzz, before we get out of here?
Yeah, you got a reasonably short one? Sure, whatever you got.
You can touch me.
All right. Or somebody had to take it. Yeah, I like that. I would like that one. That would be my choice.
All right, here's Buzz.
All right.
Good touch, bad touch, I don't care. It's 56 minutes past the hour. Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show with The Doors.
Oh, there's more. Longer intro.
That ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason why he does the news. Come on, now
touch me, baby. They varied it better than you, Buzz, and you're
sorry
a radio
about that.
Guy.
Yeah, well, I thought the intro was shorter. Sorry.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's the tough... I mean, that was the toughest one that was offered.
There's no clear...
But you know what? It won't be tough for him.
Mike, there's not a lot I can do in life.
I know.
I'm not good with my hands. God knows I'm not really an intelligent man. I'm good at spewing out pop culture. I'm good for banging my wife a couple times a week. But mainly, I'm good for this! Come on
now! Wow. See, you didn't even know.
No,
that
perfect.
Is hard for everybody. But that is,
yeah,
that is
the
thing
good.
You feel.
Right. And you've heard it a million times, which helps.
Isn't that great? That's talent I have. Now I'm on a show where we don't play records.
Yeah, very what a cool. shame.
That's okay.
I like that.
Me too. And thank you, Dave Berry.
Nice man.
Go get his collection, his slapped together collection of old columns.
I'm going to do that because it's great for people that don't read him regularly.
Right.
And what is the publication? He's in Parade, right? Isn't that what he's
in? No, he's in the Washington Post Magazine.
Washington Post Magazine. That's it. It's something on Sunday.
There you go. Yeah. There's the book for you.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
You don't mind. I read it last night, so some of the pages might be stuck together.
I like the cover.
And if you're like me and you're impatient, you can usually check him out on NewYorkPost.com online on Monday, too.
Or his own paper, the Miami Herald, where he writes with Carl Hyacin, who's also very good.
Very good.
There you go, everybody, very good. Dean's Peanuts. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You're reading out of... Well, I can't say that name sometimes without clouding up. I love him as much as any man in the world. And he's an artist, and he's funny. And he's the second best guitar player in the world.
The Don and Mike Show.
Goodbye, Turkey. My attorney will be in touch.
World class dancers. Don and Mike.
I said, hey, yours. Here comes Amos. It's the best of Don and Mike. Wednesday edition. Hey, it's your old buddy Rob Spiewak sitting here playing the tapes. Good stuff today. Stick around. You're going to be glad you did. But first, this segment there. To paraphrase a great American, the problems at WJFK, that's our home station, the problems at WJFK are multifold.
And not the least of which, trouble with parking. There's not enough parking. The spaces are too narrow. We got parking woes at WJFK, and let's discuss it on the best of Don and Mike.
I'm the last guy to get here, and
yeah, today I was particularly late.
And I really like that call upstairs.
Yeah, okay. I had a little traffic issue today.
Nice that I get, you know, I've been here. This is the point of what I'm getting to is that I got here at my normal time, you know, earlier than Mike.
This bitch that drives the handicap bus.
And
well, it's 55, okay? And it's not a handicap bus.
Don't you drive yourself.
It's a
what are you doing on a bus?
It's not a handicap bus per se. It's a normal bus with handicap access. And because none of the kids that she dropped off, or the one kid she dropped off, did not appear challenged to me in any way, shape, or form. And she goes 35. And the road that we are on is a 55. And you can't pass the school bus. You know what I almost did? I almost passed her when she stopped for the railroad tracks.
Oh, dear.
That would have been very bad, but I didn't do that.
Good for remember, you can't spell moving violation without Tom.
Yes, of course.
Of course, when you're in those situations, always think of Tom. So I'm here. I'm queer. I'm getting it done. I'm doing the show.
Here.
I'm here. I'm on time. I arrive. There's only one perk that we get for working here. Really, the perk that we have, and we've worked here for almost 13 years, is we get parking spots.
Yes, we do.
Amen. And I really
good ones too.
I pity the smaller people in this place. Who,
God bless them.
Who, for whatever reason, you know, they don't have determined on their license plates.
Yeah.
Like I do
there you
on my license plates, on my inner troubled soul.
As you take your determined car to your private parking space.
Because if you were determined after 12 years, you'd have a place like we have a place. We have parking place.
How long have we been here?
Almost 13 years.
Here? Yeah, 13 years, yeah. All right.
Now, the other people that work here, who don't, you know, who have not so determined on their license plates.
Right, seem like 13 years.
And no offense to them, I'm just busting balls. But this place is so effed up that the people who work here, the people who really make the station go every day, besides us, I like to refer to them as the little know-nothings. But all those people that come in, the worker ants that come in and do the stuff that, you know, frankly, anyone off the street can do. But these people...
That's where we got them. Stop showering these people with compliments.
This glorious staff that we have, here's the deal.
Slow down.
They really get screwed because there's not enough parking. And what they've asked people to do is to park at an adjacent parking lot in a church. Let's talk to one of those people here. Hello. Hi, Piss Ant. Oh, hi. Hi, Piss Ant.
Plenty of free parking at the church, and what's nice is when we get off work at the end of the day, even though it's pitch black back through the grass that you walk through...
Good place to get mugged.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about that, Mike. Right. It's Fairfax. Who would mug me?
Exactly. I'm surprised.
But after you get over there and by the church, an automatic light comes on. So you only have to walk about halfway in pitch black.
Oh, isn't that nice?
So, having said that, and, you know, right here, from my showbiz ticker, to all of you little folks out there who work here who don't have parking spots, you know, keep trying, be more determined. Hi, Charles.
You know who does have a parking spot?
Who?
Jay Stevens.
Did the bad word almost come out of my mouth?
Doesn't he have the rotating spot for him and Hughes and
right? Who may be here one day a week that has to be left open just in case they drop by.
That's not right.
All right. Well, they're guys that work here. they've not put in the bone breaking hard manual labor that we put in to get our year. But hey. Now you can see, and I'm talking about all you little people listening to me here in the building, now you can see that even up here at the executive level, the man still F's with us.
They do.
He F's with us. We fought for that parking spot, and some goddamn corporate program director and some equally inept general manager of a radio station that's tanking right now.
Right.
Not even this station. The guy's running another station that's tanking.
Sure.
But he's got a parking spot here.
It's not right.
Having said all of that,
yes,
matters not to me.
What are you leading up to?
When I get here today, at my regular time, there's a guy who's parked in my spot.
Mm.
Now, this is, you know, this is the one thing that we've harped on, and we are diva-ish about the parking issue here.
I would really say that is the only thing that we are diva-ish about.
So here now is where I make my mistake, and where I'm going with this...
There's really nothing else for us to be diva-ish about.
I really believe that the safest way for me to live from now on is just going to be in one of like the Pauly Shore movie, the Biodome,
right?
Where you live like in a little air cocoon, and you get fake astroturf, and you get to go places because I just...
What in the name of God are you getting at?
Nothing. It's, I just effed up a bad situation that wasn't my fault. The guy parked in my spot, mm-hmm. So I did the...
We all do it now.
And Buzz
says that I do it, you do it.
Yeah. I parked in front of him, mm-hmm. And he had no way to get his car out.
Good.
Because there was a car in front of him, mm-hmm. And he was in my spot. So I left, and I came upstairs, and it was like 30 minutes.
Right.
I had put the word out, hey, somebody's in my spot. You know. So finally, somebody comes, I'm walking around the corner, and the guy from the office upstairs says, oh, Don, this is the guy who's in your spot. And I said, oh, great. And I was seriously in the middle of doing a million things.
Right.
And the guy said, hey, I'm real sorry. I said, no problem. He said, hey, say, you got a minute for a joke? And I said, you know, no, I don't. But let me go get my keys, and I'll meet you downstairs. And the guy gave me a vibe like that.
Well, he parked. It's big letters.
Because I wouldn't listen to his joke. Like, and, you know, I don't want to be like a jerk.
I mean, if I was pissed at the guy for parking there anyway, I probably wouldn't listen to his joke either.
No, so we get downstairs, and they're both by this guy's car.
Our one perk.
So, see, what I've done now is I've waited upstairs for maybe 3 minutes before I've come down.
Mm-hmm.
Probably was it about 3 minutes that I waited? I mean, this is how just petty my life is.
3 minutes was a bit long, but you were taking a very relaxed gait about
it. Mm-hmm.
So I go down there, and they're standing by the other guy's car. He's still in my spot.
Now, do you report it? When you come in?
Yeah.
I don't.
I do immediately.
No, I don't. If somebody's in my space and you and Buzz are here,
mm-hmm.
I park with just enough car covering both of you guys, and I walk in. Well, it's not my job to track the guy down.
Right. Well, I call around and, you know.
See, that's probably why you get more annoyed. I might have done that, and then if the guy suddenly approached me, I would have listened to the joke.
So here's the thing. We're downstairs, and... Now I'm down there, and I've got him parked in, and he's standing by his car, and the guy turns and he says, hey, I promise it won't happen again. And I said, no problem. Thanks very much. I pull my car ahead, moving forward in the parking garage in the area. I didn't get in an accident.
Oh, okay. I was waiting.
No, it's nothing like that. And the guy, what I was waiting for him to do was move his car out so I could back my car into this spot.
Right.
And because I have a big SUV, even if I had pulled out of the parking garage, I still wouldn't have been able to get into my spot unless he was totally out of the area.
Yeah,
that's the configuration of this.
Right. Tight parking down there.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm noticing now the guy from the office upstairs is just standing. The guy's inside his car, the guy who's been parked there.
Mm-hmm.
And the motor's running.
Right.
And he's at the driver's wheel, and the engine's on, and he's just talking to the guy. Yeah. The guy from upstairs in the office.
Wrong.
The guy from the office is leaning in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like he's got his elbow on the roof of the car, and he's going, so, yeah. So, what do you say about Daisy? I mean, I'm hearing this because it's, echoing through the garage. So, what do you say about Daisy? Hey, I don't know about Daisy. I don't know. I heard that you got five big brand new deals coming up. I got a little. Well, listen, you got to call me about that. And I'm sitting there, and finally, I lay on the horn.
Uh-oh.
I just lay on the horn.
Sure.
Okay. I give him one of these.
God damn it. I mean, they screwed up the day already.
I give him one of these, You got it, Robbie? Hold on. We'll find it. Here, give him one of these, just like this.
A national broadcast waits for no man.
Right.
So I give him... Really, it was just one sustained, but about that long. And then I get... Hey. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, I'm...
From the guy upstairs?
Well, from one of them, because I'm not
Bob.
I'm not. No, I don't want to call anybody out here. It's just because I'm not really seeing them because the way my rearview mirror is. But I'm hearing.
I say call them out.
I hear.
Call them all out. Challenge them to a fist fight.
If it was him, I would have known it. Because
if it was him, it wouldn't happen.
I would have recognized his voice.
Yeah, if it was him, it wouldn't happen.
True.
Bob wouldn't do that.
No. So anyway, then what they do it now, I feel real uncomfortable. And I'm still thinking about, the guy's going to leave this building today, and the one thing that he's going to take is when he tells a story to his friends,
mm-hmm.
he's going to say, hey, you ever hear the Don and Mike show?
Oh, and he's a storyteller because he wanted to tell you a joke.
He said, I met that guy today. I was at WJFK. I was in the other part of the building, the office building, and I met that guy. And he walked through the door, and I said, hey, you got a minute for a joke? And he said, no.
Right.
And he came down, and he honked at me. I mean, I'm sure this could. I'm going to be an evil guy in this guy's story world.
Not. You know what? I am 100% behind you on this.
So they finally, after I lay on the horn, I hear, okay. The guy moves his car out of the way. I back my car in. Mm-hmm. But what he's done is he's not left yet. All he's done is pulled out to the little driveway outside here.
Right.
And he still has not totally cleared the entrance to the...
Which means your car is on the very end, and so you need that the room to back in, right? Right.
Yeah, this is impossible to describe.
I know what you're talking about.
My parking's
no room.
You guys understand because you work here. Buzz
and I get as mad as you do about
my parking spot is all the way to the left, and I really have to be able to move the car all the way to the left because the spaces really aren't big enough for cars because that's how they get you around
really
here.
What you do, you know what you do? You put your car in park. You get out of your car. You walk up to his windshield. You have him roll down the window, and you go, others! Others!
Anyway, here I am.
Yeah. I don't like the fact that you're trying to
seriously
backtrack on this a little bit.
I'm not backtracking. I'm just saying, before all of this happened, when I was really pissed at the guy, you know, how would you have taken that? If you had parked in somebody of whatever, you know, you parked in somebody, it had been a half an hour.
What I'm hearing from you a little bit, which I don't hear from you an awful lot, but I'm hearing it today, is just a little... Tiny little bit of guilt.
And don't, you shouldn't feel
and,
that.
And you shouldn't have
no.
any.
No.
You don't understand.
Okay, F them.
Let me tell you why.
F them.
It's not us. It's anybody. Those parkings, when you go downtown, I mean, how many times do you go to a downtown garage, you go, hey, look at these great parking spaces, and you see, and there's a sign on, it says, reserve for, and...
Yeah, but that doesn't matter, Mike. That doesn't matter.
But the fact is, bring
the nurses in. Let's get our shots. That doesn't.
That's because.
Because you might really.
See, I don't think you agree with the policy. I don't think you like having reserve. You think it's elitist. That's that part of you. That's that Joe guy part of you.
I don't know. Whatever.
Well, I think it's the greatest perk we have. It's the only perk. You know that. And there's another perk we have. This coming in here right now.
I
want
to just say, because I know he's probably listening. F you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
There you go. Now work it up.
No, that's all I've got.
Be aware of us.
What's wrong with you today?
There's nothing wrong with me today.
He was wrong.
I know he was wrong, but
it's the only perk we have. Big letters that say reserve. What does that mean?
It doesn't merit yelling and screaming. Come at this from a civilized angle.
What you should do is do what I do.
That's me saying that.
Do you realize that I do it, and it always works? This is a strategy you have to implement. You never have contact with the person. When someone parks in my space, I walk in. I hand my keys to Colette.
Oh, well, see, there's a problem.
And I say, Colette, somebody has parked in my space, and I blocked them in. And I just hand...
There's a problem.
What?
When you come down, there's 400 miles on your car.
Stop it, boys.
And a flat tire.
The nurses can't come in. They need to prepare. I think they need to rinse out the syringes.
Oh, all right. I just got a note. Nurses
That's good
are
they're
here.
Rinsing them. Yeah.
Why'd you give me the note that said nurses are here? Just to remind
they were just down at the free clinic, and they're coming back with the old syringes.
Didn't know that they had to prepare.
Is it our same wonderful nurses that we have every year?
Oh, yes.
Great.
I love those nursy wonders.
I just want everybody out there to know that now is the time of the year as we head into the holidays.
You can't get yours today.
I can't?
No.
No, I think you can. We'll ask the nurses, but I think you can.
Get a penicillin shot. Because you never know what you're going
to get one when you have a cold. You're not supposed to get a flu shot when you have a cold.
You never know what you're going to get during the holiday season. You might get strep.
Yeah.
You might get, you know, strep penis.
Yeah.
Really
strep anus.
You don't want that.
It could have
strep lip.
It's especially important, though, for senior citizens to get their flu.
That's right.
Chlamydia.
That's right.
But I really don't. I remember.
BD.
That's one of the rules.
That was true.
I thought it was just allergic to eggs.
That was true when they used to use the live virus. But now that they use a dead virus, I don't think
we'll
it matters.
Out when the, I hope you're right.
We'll find out. Right.
You see, Buzz is sick.
Mm-hmm. Would you mind taking your flu shot on your side of the glass today?
Buzz is definitely sick.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the next item for today's show.
Yes?
I want to tell you something. He puts on a good front, ladies and gentlemen.
He's a trooper.
But our man, Buzz... He's ill.
He is.
He's very fragile.
I don't know how much time I have left. Right?
And it's a good chance for us to bring this back from when Buzz had a real medical problem many years ago on the show.
Iron Man, Buzz Burbank. Consecutive days absent from the job.
Zero.
Zero.
Buzz, the streak continues.
Yeah.
Zero.
All right.
Man, Buzz Burbank.
Cool.
There you go, Buzz.
No, I'll be here.
You should be congratulated.
I'll die here.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
O'Mara?
Yes, sir.
What have you done with Don Geronimo? Where is he? This man is not Don Geronimo.
You know, I'm
speak
inclined to
me.
Agree.
I'm here. Hello.
Person I'm not recognizing. I want to know where Don Geronimo
what
is.
The, now, what is the
I
problem?
I think that, like me, on this particular subject, like me, the your public is demanding a crueler you for this.
Yes, here, here.
For this circumstance.
Holy.
It was just a parking place.
That's true. It's a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
You know, it does it not irritate you?
Hi, Charles.
I agree with him a little bit, because there was a time mm-hmm. when it would be a big deal with you.
Bully.
It's like people not turning right on red. We have that in common now.
I know we do, Charles.
Okay.
I think I speak for this caller.
The McDonald's down the street.
It's good to be sensitive, but this was the wrong
I
issue.
Think I speak for this caller, and for everybody that feels like this caller and I do, mm-hmm. when I say shame on you.
Shame.
Shame on me. Well, now this
I was hoping
this is definitely a landmark watershed day for me.
Sure but is. I have a new strategy for you. The strategy you implement is you park your car where you park it, you go upstairs, you either put your keys in your pocket or you give them to Colette at the front desk and you let the chips fall. Mm-hmm. It is not your responsibility. It's the person's responsibility who parked in the wrong space. They'll get their car out, somebody will move your car.
Hold on, let me just see. Now, to make sure that the core audience mm-hmm. of this show, and I think you would be in the core audience because you called, what you want is, and I see a perfect example here, you want me just to tear someone the new a-hole?
Yes.
Is that what you're demanding?
Yes, exactly.
If it's someone worthy?
I don't think he wants you to tear a new a-hole. I think he wants you to be angrier.
Yeah, I think you were
verbally abusive.
But what did you say?
Verbally abusive towards those individuals.
Well, hopping and jumping out of your car when they're having that conversation. Go, I came all the way down here and took 3 minutes of my pre-show time to move my car, and you're having a little happy talk? You
wouldn't do that.
Exactly. Well,
I'd never do that.
You'd never do
that. Well, I wouldn't. Well, not my job.
You used your horn, and that was fine. You refused to listen to his joke, and that was fine.
But that's not my job either.
The bad part was that you felt guilty afterward, and that's what
you
concerns
seem like
us.
You're explaining your behavior.
Don't feel guilty.
Preach on, Buzz.
That's all we're saying.
Like, you're concerned what this guy is going to be saying about you.
And I'll say to you, the caller, to Mike, to Buzz, uh-huh. and most importantly to that guy, all of you guys, off.
That's our Don.
Ah, there we go.
There he is. Welcome back, Mr. Geronimo. I say good day.
Good day. All right, good day. You know, excuse me.
Oh, see, that's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, excuse me. You know,
Don used a nasty word.
I've been on a streak maybe, what is it, since we had our deal done. Like uh-huh. maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Excuse me, I've just been too happy to come to work.
No, I agree with
you. I'm sorry.
I completely agree with you.
No, I take it back. I'm not sorry.
Good for you.
You don't deserve that. You impetulant ants.
Impetulant? What is impetulant?
Oh, no.
It's a good word.
You wanted
word.
This. You wanted this.
That's right.
You wanted
it. I agree. Like yesterday when you prevented me from getting into the fist fight with the listener, you were absolutely right. And I agree with you. We're not doing that anymore like we used to. But in a circumstance like this, when you're just relaying the story, mm-hmm. you were, I think you had a proper level.
All right, well, then I'll give you, okay. Here you go.
Okay.
I worked my ass off for that parking spot.
It's a nurse, so yeah.
It's a nurse.
Oh, I almost flipped off the nurse.
I almost flipped off the nurse.
Yeah, right.
It's a perk. Uh-huh. I worked for it for a long time. You made me wait for 30 goddamn minutes. You're an effing tool, and I don't want to hear your effing stupid effing joke.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's more like it. Don't you feel better now?
Feel the same.
Okay.
That's okay.
Feel the same.
All right.
Okay.
It's like Danny Ocean when,
what do you mean?
When Benedict asks him how what's it feel like to be out of prison, he says it's the same.
It's the same.
He's not telling the truth.
What do you mean? What does Danny Ocean have to do with this?
He has a lot to do with you, and you know that.
Okay, I like George Clooney. Is that what you're getting to?
I'm the Brad Pitt in that. You know, it's about Tess, isn't it?
Who would Tess be?
Tess is Julia Roberts.
Yes, I know, but
I just felt like saying that because I've watched the movie for the 700th time. You know what's great?
I like it when they run a good movie 750 times, and that's what they're doing with Ocean's 11.
Tess is the parking spot.
Yep.
You say you don't care, but it's really all about the parking
spot. This isn't about the job. It's about Tess.
Tess.
You made that decision when you put Tess before us.
Okay.
You should know more than anybody else. In this building, someone's always watching.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
I never lied to you, except about being a thief.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Don?
You thief. You liar. That's when he's released from prison.
Mm-hmm.
When he's in the car with Mike O'Mara.
Ted Nugent called. He wants his shirt back.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
That's good. Hey, I was wondering if that was just an extension of the Jolly Directive, the way you were approaching the guy in the parking garage. I'm not Jesus. Thinking you were wrong.
One thing that I say. No,
this might be my fault.
My wife has nothing to do with this.
I might have started this whole thing up.
My wife has nothing to do with this.
So pregame pressure.
That's right, Mike. It's your fault.
Thank you, sir.
All right, goodbye.
And I welcome the criticism.
Goodbye.
I'm used to it.
Hey, you're funny. You're very funny. Hello, Don and Mike show. Here we are. Don
hey,
and Mike.
Hey. Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
I got a great story. I had this guy parked in my parking spot one time, and I came out of my building, saw it, went right back into my building, cut out a stencil that said reserve, and I spray painted reserve on his windshield. I mean, you can scrape it off, but it makes the point, if you know what I mean.
Wow, okay. That's pretty heavy duty. Yeah. But I have a question for you. Your story, logically, your story is difficult to follow because you said you came out of your building and there was somebody in your space. How come you weren't in the space already since you were in the building? Or as you put it, building.
Yeah.
Built? Actually, I would already park somewhere else, and I came up and saw it.
Uh-huh.
Came back out.
Can I ask you another question? I hate to beat a dead horse here, but why did you park somewhere else if you had a reserved parking space?
I don't know. I guess I'm a moron about it.
Agreed.
Rule, Buzz.
Agreed.
Rule.
Agreed. Yes. And you rule, Buzz.
Thank you. Hey, guys.
Buzz, you rule.
Man, Buzz Burbank. Consecutive days absent from the job.
Zero.
Zero.
Congratulations, Buzz. The streak continues.
We used to have our reserved parking where we lived, and a good wintertime hint if someone takes your spot is to write a note to them on a big piece of paper, get it wet, and put it on their windshield. So it freezes the windshield. Something nice like, please don't park here again.
A real nice note, and then they just have
But it just freezes to the windshield.
There. Oh, that's a good one.
It's helpful.
I used to hang with guys who really would drive around with cans of spray paint.
Really?
And like if you would go to a Bullets game at the Capitol Center, mm-hmm. at the old Capitol Center, and you get there. I was with these guys one time. I didn't do it. I laughed. Mm-hmm. Really laughed. It was a Corvette.
Right.
One of those big white, gigantic fiberglass things, and it was parked over two spots for a basketball game where there's going to be like, you know, 10,000 people.
Right.
And friend says, that's really sad. Hold on a second. He goes to his trunk. And you know that sound of like the ball bearing?
Click, 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 click.
Right. And then I hear,
like right on the side of the car? Wow.
Yeah, he did it all the time.
Really?
Very different colors.
My God.
Because you never knew what color the car was going
to
be.
Tough to get that off, actually.
I'm not encouraging that.
And the enamel, difficult.
Not encouraging that, just telling you that it's been done.
It's a nail polish remover, does terrible things to an automobile.
Yes. So it's there. Let me just tell you that it's there inside my soul. It's there. The bad stuff is there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just one thing with one guy. One joke. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hello. You know, what you did was you made it way too convenient for that guy. You went looking for him. You should, I believe, you should just block him.
No, but here's
don't mention it to anybody.
No, but here's the thing. Hold on a second.
It's convenient by giving the keys.
All right, hey, calm down.
I'm upset on your behalf.
I appreciate that. I guess the message I'm getting is I should have been madder.
The deal is mad, but make it a hassle. Make him go down there, see he's blocked.
Okay, but hold on.
Take down the information, go around looking for you.
Wait.
Maybe even hide a little bit.
Please wait. Let me explain to you that it becomes a hassle for me if by where are you calling from?
San Francisco.
Okay, so the show starts in San Francisco at noon.
Yeah.
It starts at 3 o'clock out here.
If, right.
If I'm in the studio at 3 o'clock and I'm double parking some in, at some point during the first break, and if not the first break, the second break, someone's going to come to the window while we're on the air and say, hey, we got to have your keys. Because I'm not going to be like Mike. I don't trust the people that work here.
Oh, you don't?
So then
you got a problem there.
See, I won't just give my keys to the temp at the front desk and say, oh, move my car.
I don't know how many different people have moved my car over the years, but I know a lot of people have.
And it's not that I think that they're thieves. I just think that they'll ding it up and they'll touch my stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they will. And
you know, that makes it too easy, though. That's like, here, go ahead and park in my spot. I'll block you in.
God, he's annoying. Now I've flipped over to the other side because of him.
Because of him.
Yep.
We got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How much for the little girl? The women. How much for the women?
What?
Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
Maitre d'. Maitre d'.
You. How much for your wife?
The Don and Mike Show.
They are the Dean's Peanuts, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, 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 oh. Does this song make you think of Ken Jennings? He's the big Jeopardy winner, don't you know? Okay, it's the best. Oh, yeah, the best of Don and Mike. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak in here playing the tapes. I'm a tape jockey, don't you know? And let's take a page from the WJFK history book. This next segment takes us back to when Alan Line 1, the esteemed Alan Line 1, was first named general manager of WJFK. Listen and learn. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Breaking news from all things WJFK.
This is a big story.
Wow. A huge story.
Uh-oh.
So let's call now and see if we can get one of the newsmakers on the line with us. And incidentally, a lot of people around here are going to lose a lot of money today in the employee pool. Myself included.
Wow. I just went down the hallway and I saw several people packing up their bags.
Wow. It's a monumentous day at WJFK.
Monumentous. I think
your call has been forwarded to an automated voice.
Oh, no.
Let me try him. Oh, what's his number back there? What is it?
I don't know.
This is huge.
Buzz, what's Alan's number?
That's who, you know, it's amazing to walk through the building here and see. Go ahead, Buzz.
460.
See tears of joy and tears of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you my quote after. We'll see if we get a hold of Alan or not. Then I'll tell you my quote to Rob. And I would like to be officially quoted like this. As you know, in our new contract, we're not allowed to directly speak to the press. However, the press can listen to our radio show and discern anything that we say on the air as being something quotable.
I saw tears of joy, I saw tears of sadness, but mostly I saw tears of indifference.
See a lot of that.
Well, let's see.
Would it be safe to say you're the happiest guy today, Rob?
Hey, stick a fork in me and I'll just spew joy.
All right, let's see.
Don't get any on you.
Memo to staff from Michael Hughes.
Oh.
R.E. Alan Linewand. I am pleased to announce that Alan Linewand is officially, and that is underlined, officially the Vice President and General Manager of WJFK. Wow! While carrying the acting title for quite some time, no, let's be honest, 18 months.
Too long, baby.
Yeah.
Alan has demonstrated his ability to lead the WJFK operation, baby. Mm-hmm. He deserves us making it official. Alan, and then here you go. Here's where the guys start swinging their D's. Alan will continue to report to me.
Me!
and be directly responsible for WJFK and the Redskins Radio Network. I look forward, God.
Me and you.
Hold on, Alan's on hold. Here he is now, everybody. Alan!
Hey, guys.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's official. 18 months.
You waited patiently, and it's finally yours.
Nobody was waiting. I was just doing my job.
However,
oh, shucks.
Let me just say this.
Oh, shucks.
Let me just say this.
How dare Michael Hughes, who doesn't like his name being said on the radio, but too bad. How dare he slam you?
Right.
In this greatest of your accomplishments.
Right.
You find, after teetering on the edge for 18 months.
Finally, the brass ring is firmly in your grasp.
Yet, I'm reading the press release. Alan Limond is officially the vice president and general manager of WJFK.
You have to play music with it.
Holy, you kidding me?
Yeah, come on.
Alan will continue to report to me. I look forward to his partnership and the entire team. You know what I do with this, Alan? I use this as toilet paper if I'm you.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to read between the lines. You the man now.
Right?
Well, hey, you
then
know...
Then why don't you move Michael Hughes out of that old office upstairs?
Michael's got a nice office, he should stay in it, and I've got a nice office, so I'm going to stay in mine.
No, Alan, let's be honest. Now that you're the general manager, let's be honest.
I think it's time for you to break down a few walls and really make an office sweet.
That was Ken's office.
Your office is a little big, isn't it?
Hey, see? Now, see? He's feeling his oats, ladies and gentlemen.
That office upstairs... That corner office used to be the late Ken Stevens' office.
Right.
That's the general manager's office. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of significance to having... Who's on the hotline?
That's Bart.
Oh, tell him we've got to wait to do the draft.
We'll call him.
Hold on. Alan, I'll get right back. I have a more important call. Hold on, please.
Okay.
Put Bart on hold. Because I know he's doing stuff tonight. Hey, bud?
Yeah.
Hey, here's a shock. We're running late.
No.
Yeah. What time do you got to go to your thing tonight?
5:30.
All right, well, we'll probably be able to get the first round in. We'll call you back. Are you in your dorm?
Yeah, I have some grand news, Dad.
What's that, bud?
My car got towed.
Again?
No, that was a ticket before, and that got erased.
Okay, it got erased. Why did you get your car towed?
Because I just found out there was a message on my machine. I didn't know how to use, like, the voicemail here. And it was like, you need to move your car from the main student parking lot because on game day you can't park there.
Oh, so they towed it on Saturday?
Yep.
Oh, my. All right, well, you know what to do in that situation. Call Mom.
I know. I got to go get it tomorrow morning.
All right, bud. So, listen, just tell everybody briefly, college life, good?
It's going well.
You liking it? I mentioned that we were getting the calls from you at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. And
that was once. I gave you a call at midnight.
And once at 1 a.m. and once at 2 a.m. And
when?
When you went to Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was at 2 in the morning. So, you're having a great time?
Yeah.
Finding and you're going to what?
I got a rush party tonight.
Oh, cool.
Getting into his fraternity.
That's fantastic. You want to give us a little heads up? Well, I guess you can't do that until you pledge, right?
No.
Because you jinx it.
Yeah, right. Because he's got two or three that he's talking to.
All right,
bud. Well, listen, I love you, and we'll call you back when it's time for the draft.
All right.
Hey, and listen, you're not going to believe this. They finally gave Alan the job as general manager.
Really?
Exactly. How do you feel about that, Bart?
Good for him.
There you go. Yeah. All right, my boy. I miss you. I love you. We'll call you back as soon as we start the draft, about 10 minutes.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Hey,
that's all right. I'm a general manager. I have nothing else to do.
There you go. You know, he's taking it. He's grabbing it. You notice the change in tone?
Mm-hmm. My son sends his best.
Oh, thank you.
Now, listen, now that you finally have the job,
yeah.
You're not the whipping boy anymore. You're not the interim guy.
Right. You're the man now.
What are you going to do to start cleaning up the mess around here? I mean, the riffraff. Let's be honest.
Well, we could talk about what that riffraff is after the show, I guess.
You know, it's no need to talk about it. We'll just simply slip the list under your door.
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Very good.
Or, you know what? Have your secretary call my secretary.
Okay, listen. I just want to mention a couple of areas that are of concern to me. Now that you're the general manager.
As if I didn't know this before, right?
Well, no, just think, it's not the stuff that you think that we're arguing about.
Well, now it's just now it just has a bit more urgency.
Tim McWilliams. There it is. I've said it.
I think that we all agree.
Tim McWilliams.
There's really no need for any more discussion.
He has to go. Tim McWilliams has to go. You're the general manager. Make a bold statement. This is what general managers do. When they get the job, they fire somebody.
One beheading. One, like, big public beheading.
Just to show everybody you got...
Just to indicate that you are the man.
Okay, I'll get with Julie on that.
Thank you.
And if not Tim, Julie would be fine.
it'll be up to Julie.
Very wow. good.
And Alan, congratulations.
Anyway, so what else?
Some things never change.
Alan, things are good here on 106.7 WJFK.
Well, hey, you guys sound genuinely happy, and I'm genuinely surprised.
Oh, don't mistake that. We're simply doing a show.
It's an act. Oh, okay, that's...
You know how mad we are. And you know, Alan, just how... What a tight wire it is that we're walking on right now, and you're walking on it with us. Because at any given moment,
mm-hmm.
we could just flip.
Right.
At any given moment, we could let go with everything.
And fall into the abyss.
But you won't.
No, the abyss of anger.
But you won't.
We've told you that we won't.
And you are men of your word, and I appreciate that.
For a couple of days, we won't.
Yeah.
But it's been great having you on the Don and Mike Show on WJFK.
Congratulations, General Manager Alan Linewine.
Yeah.
Well,
How much would you pay me if I called Ken right now to get his response?
You don't have to do that.
I
could call Ken separately, but I'll talk to you.
He's getting out his Rolodex.
I got my palm.
If the phone rings, I'm gone.
Well, you won't hear. Hold on. We got that whole dumb phone rule thing.
All right, listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen to me, guys.
No.
I do have work to do.
All right, go ahead.
All right, go ahead, Alan.
All right.
All right,
bye-bye.
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations, 18 months.
It's not been that long. But
it's time.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks.
Congratulations.
Bye. All right, bye. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on WJFK.
There he goes.
He's fun.
You know, I'll tell you exactly what I told Rob, and I swear to God I said this.
True.
I said, Rob said, what do you think? And I said, what's better than if they hired a real guy?
I mean, hey, you know what? Here's the deal. Always nice to know the commodity.
Yeah.
All right.
Always nice to know what we got.
Mm-hmm. Shall I call him?
Yeah, I think so.
I have Ken's number.
Give him a call. Couldn't hurt.
He hasn't changed it by now.
Gotta pick up the phone.
Yeah, I gotta pick it up.
Hey, this won't be too awkward.
Be interesting.
You know, the guy lives 2 miles from me,
yeah,
and I've not seen him.
Do you even know if he's still in the area?
I think so. I mean, Frida sees his wife sometimes at Safeway.
Rob's putting the X over his eyes.
He only goes out at night.
No, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to get a machine. Well, his wife's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't killed her yet. Okay, you want to leave a message? I will if you don't want to.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hold on.
No, I will. I'll do it with you.
Hold on. I'm waiting for the beep.
Okay.
There you go.
Hello. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Ken. Don and Mike, so happy.
Hi, Ken.
To tell you that I think you owe me some money, because I'm pretty sure we bet on this a long time ago. Alan was named general manager today.
Yes, we're not sure what the pool was. It was many, many moons ago. But, you know, we'd certainly love to have you come on the show.
I mean,
give us an update.
I remember one of those times when we were talking about him behind his back, mm-hmm. when you said something like he'll never make it.
Right.
That you could drop dead or be hit by a car or, God forbid, get fired.
He was named official general manager mm-hmm. today.
We're pleased to announce Alan Linewand is the official vice president and general manager of WJFK. However, you'll probably be interested to know, too, that he still answers to Michael Hughes. So there still is a food chain thing happening.
This is true.
All right, Ken.
Don and Mike calling.
See you in the funny papers.
So long.
Bye-bye. Until next time, I'm so glad we had this time together.
You know, always a good time when we're talking, spending time with you. Time.
Time. Time. Time.
Time.
Time. Time.
Best to Jeremy.
Time.
Oh, I'm going to hell.
Roz, don't hate us.
Right, it's just shtick.
We like you, Roz.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. See you at Safeway, neighbor. Okay. Rob, I'm not playing that.
Okay.
That's cruel.
That is.
That's
cruel. Are we clear?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We're clear.
Oh, what a hoot, and so totally refreshing.
There you go. Dope, I know we're still on the line with Ken.
Okay, I just checked.
I was trying to trap Mike into saying something about
it. I think I said it all.
All right, now I'll hang up on it.
Okay.
Because he's going to have like a 4-minute message on his
machine. No need for that.
And he's going to be pissed at us. What are you going to do, fire us?
I know. There you go.
Okay. Bye, Ken.
He's going to be pissed because you left a four-minute message. Yeah. That's why he'll be pissed.
Yeah.
Right.
Everything else is fine.
You know, we never got to the rest of the Jerry stuff. We're still on the line with the machine.
I know.
We're still on the line.
I know we are.
Buzz, you want to say anything? Does he owe you any money or anything?
Not that I know of. Just hi to Roz and best of the kids, I guess. All right, very good.
There you go.
Okay, hang up now, please. Please hang up. You're making
Come on, it's
squirt.
Good awkward.
You're making me squirm.
It's good awkward. We're calling the general manager who used to be the general manager to tell him that the other guy
I know.
Got the job
the
finally.
General manager.
The new general manager got the job.
Yeah. It's official.
And Ken, you wouldn't believe the CF we're going through with the network.
Oh, my God.
It's worse than when you were here, when you set that this great deal up.
Well, let's not get crazy.
See? You did it. You stayed on long enough.
Jesus.
You're right. You're right. We wish you good luck.
Yes.
Ken Stevens. Have you thought about XM? Jeremy's at Cirrus.
Call us sometime.
I'd
love to get Ken on the show.
We'd love to chat with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ken Stevens, good talking to you.
Hey, what happened?
Right, much love. Mean that from my ticker. Mean that. Bye-bye. Got a new contract done 8 months before it was up.
He probably knows that.
I guess he does. Okay, bye, Ken. And we're clear.
I heard the click. Did you?
What?
Is it really?
Is it what really?
Are you lying to me?
Yeah, of course I am.
Yeah.
Come on. This is my Ken's machine.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, now there you go. That's it.
Hey.
Swear to God.
Wow.
We're done with it. Hello, Don and Mike, JFK. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing very well.
I'm listening up here in Baltimore. Whenever you say JFK over the air here, they push a button, 105.7 live. You want to hear it once? I'll turn the radio up if you say JFK.
But I'd like to. You know, just for fun, I wouldn't mind hearing it.
Okay, I'm turning it up.
All right, here we are on WJFK.
Wow.
As we announced
hello,
that we would do
Mike,
months
JFK.
Ago.
Hello. Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're doing very well.
I'm listening up here in Baltimore. Whenever you say JFK over the air here, they push a button, 105.7 live. You want to hear it once? I'll turn the radio up if you say JFK.
But I'd like to, you know, just for fun, I wouldn't mind hearing it.
Okay, I'm turning it up.
All right, here we are on WJFK.
Live 105.0.
That's funny. That is funny.
Dummies.
Hey, they're cleverer than we are.
So dumb.
Oh, Lord. What an interesting segment this has been.
Yeah.
Sure has. Kind of a trip down memory lane and also a look ahead to the murky waters.
Yes.
That await us here on the Perfect Storm broadcast. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike.
I think that's where they originated from. Yeah.
Las Vegas. Hello.
The Don and Mike Show. Noted bonesmen Don Geronimo and Michael Mera.
Travis Edelin. Hello. I did not say hello to you yesterday. You're the magical man in the dump room. Sometimes you make bad things go away. That's what we love about Travis. Alright, enough of that. I've serviced that account. Okay, there's a lot of things you need to know if you want to listen and enjoy the Don and Mike Show. And here in the Best of Don and Mike, we like to cover some of them. One of which is the news guy, Buzz Burbank. Here's something you didn't know. The man is nuts. He takes his TV way too seriously, and that's what we talk about here. It's Buzz and his nutty TV habits, all for you on the Best of Don and Mike.
An insight into Buzz. You know, if you look at the newspaper, and I hope you don't mind me embarrassing you on this, Buzz.
They have a grid. I actually take the grid out of the fall premiere issue of TV Guide, turn it into black and white, blow it up, and highlight the programs that will be on my menu. That's where we're going with
So if, for instance, you see it, like how some of these on this grid in USA Today are color-coded.
You know, as much as you like TV, he likes it more.
Oh, absolutely.
It's pretty close.
He's more into it.
Yeah. Pretty close.
So, anyway, he's showing me, a couple of weeks ago, we're over at his house, and he's showing me, he says, now look, is pink the one that is recorded by the, you have pink, blue, and yellow on your grid.
Right, each color recorded by a different machine.
Wow.
So, different TiVo type unit.
How
many TiVo units do you have?
Three. So if you
have three TiVos?
Yeah. And a VCR.
Well, you know, it's like Homer Simpson said, if only the networks would give us half an hour where something good wasn't on. And it just isn't. So you can't watch all the channels at once.
So anyway, like for instance, if you've ever wondered about the show Angel.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I'm a big fan. I was a Buffy fan, and this is a spinoff of that.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
How many programs do you watch per week?
I don't know.
Rough ballpark.
What's it? 25, maybe.
All right, let me go
25 in their entirety?
Yeah.
And I consider myself to be an expert at this as well as Buzz, but let me pick some that I don't know, and perhaps you can tell me the plot of these shows, and then we'll get your... what was that? I turned my head.
That was an ice dam.
Oh, I got you.
You know when you take a beverage to your mouth and the ice is coagulated at the bottom of the glass and then crushes your lips?
It slides
Here's
and collides.
One. I'll tell you, I have no idea. Married to the Kellys. Friday night, 8:30 ABC.
Don't watch it.
Buzz, got any idea?
No, not a clue.
Isn't that about when Tim Sabian was in Chicago?
All right, Buzz. Hold on. Let me see. I've got another one for you here.
Now, I try to be selective. I mean, I watch a lot of stuff, but I try to pick shows that, at least in my estimation, are set apart from other shows.
Okay. All right, that's valid.
All right, so you want me to go not so much to like something like Friends or CSI,
which I watch both,
which you watch.
Mm-hmm.
What about Reba on the WB?
No,
what can you
tell
me?
Here again, wouldn't watch it. I mean, I know it stars a country western star. It's one of the
All right, what about
lame Friday night sitcom?
Country and western music.
Oh.
It'll be a country star, Buzz.
Yeah. Boston Pop Public. Who knew that show?
Boston
was still
Public.
On
That's not Boston Pop Public. It's a great show. Dennis Miller is the new math teacher on Boston Public, and very hip, very cool. I like it a lot.
Boston Public, good show.
Very good show.
You've been on that one from the beginning.
From the beginning.
I know. How about Navy NCIS?
Nope. Wouldn't watch it.
Rob's doing it.
It's a formula. Yeah, me and Dennis.
Now he's not smoking marijuana.
Okay.
What about?
Okay, Mike.
What about My Wife and Kids?
No, wouldn't watch that either.
Now, why?
Wouldn't be caught dead watching.
Why? Because it's colored?
No. It's because it's another formula sitcom. And
right,
I just...
But let's see how balanced you are.
All right.
I'm going to go The Parkers.
I don't watch The Parkers. That's
Eve.
A UPN, right?
Eve.
Don't watch Eve.
How about Half and Half?
Don't watch Half and Half.
You're disappointing me. I thought you watched much more television.
But, like I said, I
try
to be selective.
Everwood?
Nope, don't watch that one either.
Is that a porn?
No, that's on the WB. What about Threat Matrix?
Nope, don't watch that either.
Are you going to the regular networks?
Yeah. I mean...
Or WB?
I gave you three or four UPNs there, but like...
No, UPNs don't count. It should be ABC, CBS,
Fox. I gave him the UPNs just to give him some black ones.
Okay, all right.
I understand.
You didn't have any. All right, how about this one? It's on ABC.
Uh-huh.
Life with Bonnie.
I do watch that.
What is that?
Bonnie Hunt.
It's a sitcom. It's Bonnie Hunt, but what sets it apart from other sitcoms is that every week in the middle of the show, there's a huge chunk of the show that is totally ad-lib. It's totally improv. There's no script.
That's kind of cool.
And it's funny. I like that. I like to see them.
So you TiVo that?
I do. I like to see them crack each other up.
Mm-hmm. Smallville.
Nope, don't watch it.
You watch the Daily Show?
Yeah, I do. That's a great show.
That's my favorite show now.
It's a truly brilliant show.
That is absolutely the funniest show on television.
Just a prime. Here's a good one, Buzz. And a lot of the kids are watching this. Uh-huh. The O.C.
Yeah.
No, not into the OC. It's another teen soap opera.
All right, hold on. How about, now here's one that would surprise me. Las Vegas on NBC.
That is a great show.
That is a great show, and I saw it.
If you like beautiful women, casino security.
James Caan, perfectly cast.
Doing his best work ever, and a very stylish looking show. It's very similar. It's kind of got a CSI feel to it.
And it's doing well in the ratings.
It's on against football, though.
I know. It's on against football and Raymond, and it's still getting a good audience.
Guys, you fags. Buzz, Girlfriends.
No.
No.
But you can watch football in TiVo Las Vegas.
You could, sure.
What about Gilmore Girls?
No, don't watch that either. In fact, I TiVo almost everything so I can compress the commercials out of it. I watch virtually nothing live.
Mm-hmm.
I might watch it the same night, but I'll compress
it. What do you mean compress it?
Well, like, let's say a show starts at 9 and it's a one-hour show. I'll join it about 9:15, 9:20, and finish it up at the same time the rest of America does, only without commercials.
Yeah. Oh, so you do it like when it's, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, that's neat.
Yeah. You compress it.
I program my own life.
That's good.
So, like tonight when you go home.
Uh-huh.
Will you have a menu? Will you sit down with Marcia and say, here's what we have available to watch?
Wednesday night, and thanks to the TiVo technology, I don't even really know what's on. I just know that when I go home, there'll be a great menu that I can choose from.
That's good. Well, I kind of like that. You don't do the same thing, do you?
No, generally, I think, even though I watch it all the time, I think TV sucks. Right. Which is why I always end up on the same four or five channels.
A lot of it does.
ESPN.
Right.
NFL channel. Right. I watch junk like that.
And I watch less TV now than I've ever watched in my life.
Actually, I think that's probably true of me, too. But I do have my favorites.
And if
it's set apart from the other.
TiVo, too. I love it because it's, and this sounds like a commercial, but, it's a good product.
Put you in control.
What about JAG, Buzz? You ever log
on? Formula.
How about Mismatched?
No. Uh-uh.
How about the reality programming?
Not a fan of the reality program. Watched the first year of Survivor. Watched the first year of Joe Millionaire. That's about it.
No Fear Factor?
No.
What about NYPD Blue?
I still am with that show. I love Sipowicz.
You still watch it?
I love Sipowicz. I love the nudity. I like the New York slant on the show.
I'm going to bet, maybe I'm wrong here, West Wing. Are you a West Wing guy?
I have mixed feelings about that.
It's gone down the crapper this year.
I have been, but the guy who made it what it was is gone, Aaron Sorkin, so I don't care.
Will and Grace.
No.
Extreme Makeover.
No.
Jamie Kennedy Experience.
No. It's Candid Camera.
See, but you knew that.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey.
He's very good, but I don't watch the show.
Right, because he's colored.
No, it's only a sitcom.
George Lopez.
No.
Wanda at Large.
I love Wanda, but I don't watch her show.
Sure, because she's colored.
No, but I've seen her do stand-up, and I think she's great.
Let me Hack.
No, never.
The District. Formula.
Both of those very formula shows, great all for old people.
All of the Law and Orders.
I used to watch Law and Order years ago, but then characters left and shows spun off, and I didn't care anymore.
America's Funniest Home Videos.
Never.
Charmed.
No. Dumb.
King of the Hill.
Yeah, like it.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, very much.
Alias.
Yes, love it.
The Practice.
Yeah, no, not anymore. No, I'm gone. I have been for a year or two.
Cold Case.
That's not bad. It's okay. It's another CSI type show.
Dateline NBC.
No, not really.
60 Minutes.
No, not usually. Not big on the news magazine.
What I Like About You.
No, never.
Scrubs.
Yeah, very funny. Very hip and different.
Karen Sisko.
Yeah, she's hot and the stories are stylish. It's well done.
Night Calls.
I wish I watched it more, but I don't. Mm-hmm.
Seventh Heaven.
No, never.
Spice Clips.
I'd like to, but I haven't, honestly.
Rock Me Baby.
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Judging Amy. Come on, don't lie.
Never on a bet.
Don't lie.
No, formula.
Don't lie.
That's Rob's show.
Wouldn't be caught dead.
Anyway. All right, thank you. Thank you, Buzz.
Certainly. Anytime.
A wonderful glance into the life of Buzz.
Yes.
Because you go to his house, and he has this fantastic coffee.
Do you have more than one TiVo?
No. He has this fantastic coffee table thing that turns into an eatery.
Yeah, the table lifts. The surface of the table lifts up to eating level.
Wow. When you go and Buzz, and I want to say this, it was BM that I knew him before more than 20 years ago. He was the first guy to have a room and call it his media center.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and you have one too.
Yeah, well, no, I got a room that has that's got nice stuff in it, but Buzz has a media.
But you have your cave, and that's kind of your media room too,
yeah,
right?
It's not like Buzz. It's not like when you sit down in Buzz's house and you basically here's what mine is. Mine is just. I turn it on and I got one button that turns everything on and mm-hmm. I'm set. You go with Buzz and Buzz goes behind and knows where all the cables go and knows where all the wiring is and says I'm getting the input from satellite receiver A here and he has backups as well.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, if there are shows that he wants and he's going to record them on TiVo using DirecTV and there's a chance of bad weather, he'll back it up by recording it off cable on VHS.
In fact, I record everything I watch just in case the phone rings or I have to go do something else.
Wow.
So even if I know I'm going to be watching
it. Time-consuming?
No, not really. You set it once at the beginning of the season. There's the occasional change.
But you set it. You put the button. You hit the button that says record everything you watch.
No. You program on all your shows, you know, off the chart at the beginning of the season.
Do you have your CDs organized, too?
Oh, yeah.
And your DVDs?
Yeah.
You have that, though, don't you?
What?
Don't you have all your CDs and DVDs organized?
Some kind of alphabetical order?
Negative.
No?
Negative on both.
Well, how do you find anything?
My CDs are...
You have millions.
My CDs, my wife will tell you, they're thrown all over the floor in the basement.
Okay.
So I go down there and sit with the drum set, and I do something, and it's like...
That makes me happy, because I didn't know you did that, and I do that.
I do it for a while, and you go, well, I don't need this one for a while. And
I have a whole... I have a table with a row of CDs,
uh-huh.
And if you go look at them, they're all empty.
Yeah,
because they're in my car and like all over the place, and I wouldn't be able to find them.
Did my wife get pissed at me a couple of weeks ago when she? Now I didn't ask her to do this. Out in the, you know, now that Bart's gone, thank God she's got this job. She'll stop doing this nutty crap like compulsively cleaning out the garage.
Uh-huh.
She went to the garage and there's this little area, my area, the nook and cranny area.
Right.
And you know what I mean? You wear a baseball cap to work or something. You throw it in there. You got some papers and stuff. Mm-hmm. You throw them in there. You get a new CD and you take the old CD out and you just kind of throw it in there.
You have no idea how good that makes me feel.
She got so pissed at me. She was sitting on the floor one day with maybe 100 CDs on the floor, and all the boxes. And she said, "These all have come out of the garage. These are all yours." And I said, "Great." And she was actually taking the time to try to find the CD that goes in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm pretty sure...
Futile task.
Now I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to touch those CDs anymore.
Right.
They're my CDs.
I just, you know, since I've been on my own,
uh-huh.
I just recently got a silverware divider.
Well, that's good.
You know what I mean?
You mean that thing that goes in the drawer?
In the drawer, yeah. I used to throw all my stuff in the drawer.
You're a hillbilly.
You know, I'd take the thing out of the dishwasher. You know what luxury is and a time saver? Is to take all your silverware out of that little tray in the dishwasher
uh-huh.
and just dump it into the drawer. Now I got to put them all in the right spot.
But you know where they are when you need them.
Yeah,
boom,
yeah,
it's right there.
Yeah. You are a
What do you mean I'm a hillbilly?
God.
And I have everything that matters to me in my bedroom.
Baby, even homeless people, even homeless people have the separators for their forks and spoons and knives.
Well, I had a home.
Hi, you have a home now. Baby.
Yes, my sweetie.
Here's a question for you.
What?
Remember when it was just a couple of weeks ago, you went through all those CDs that I had in the garage.
Yeah.
I'll listen to a CD and I'll think, well, I buy a new one or get a new one. I go, I'll listen to another one. And I just leave it out there. And that day that you were sitting down, you got real mad at me because you were sitting right in the middle of the living room. You were just surrounded by all these boxes and CDs. You know, and what I said to you at the time was, why don't you just put, the name of the CD on the box doesn't have to match the name of the CD inside.
You can never find the CD you want, though.
But, honey, that's part of the fun, though.
It's not fun.
And, Mike, maybe you feel this way, too.
I feel the same way when you find something you really dig, and it's a big surprise, and it's a lot of fun.
Like, you're looking at a box.
If you want to listen to some music, and the next person, maybe if you lived alone, you know, you could do it whatever way you wanted, but I would like to be able to find a song I wanted to hear.
I was looking for Norah Jones the other day, and I knew I bought it, and mm-hmm. First time I listened to it, I didn't like it, and she became, the rage, and I heard it in another environment, and I liked it, so I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it, but I did find the Doobie Brothers Live.
So
and I was perfectly entertained.
Doobie Brothers' Greatest Hits is the perfect example mm-hmm. of an impulse CD. I'm in Walmart,
mm-hmm.
and I think, I look at it and I go, wow, what a fool believes. I haven't heard that song in a long time.
Right.
So you go, and I like everything else.
Right.
So I buy it.
Minute by minute.
And then you get in the car, and it's like you drive for 10 minutes, and you hear the three songs you like, and then you go, well, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So you wait, you get another one, and then you get home, and you just, because you don't want to throw it away, you just put it there in the corner. And she's sitting there in the middle of the room.
You might as well have thrown it away. I would prefer you throw the thing away.
She's sitting there with boxes going, and I said, it's no skin off my nose. If you put a Captain and Tennille CD in an Ozzy Osbourne CD cover.
And CDs can all be replaced.
Now, I'm giving them all to Carrie to sell on eBay anyway.
And besides, with CDs, the technology is going to be there in a couple of years where they're not going to be relevant anymore.
That's true.
What do you mean we're going to download songs?
Yeah.
We're going to be downloading.
Honey, watch Minority Report. Didn't you see that movie? We're going to get advertising through our eyes.
All that's going to happen.
You'll probably leave your eyes in the wrong socket or leave them in the garage, and you wouldn't be able to find your eyes if you needed them.
And another thing, don't worry about this traffic that everybody's so freaked out about, okay? That's coming.
Again, Minority Report.
Okay,
yes.
Well, then we're going to hang on to our house in the boondocks because, you know, it won't matter one day, right?
Right, that's right, because the cars won't
Yes, don't move to an apartment in the city.
No, it would be a waste to pay the money for a place inside the Beltway, right?
It's a ridiculous idea that you had. And I mentioned that the other day, that we talked about that at dinner on Saturday night, and it was one of the few times, it wasn't anybody out there that's been married for the length of time I have, whether it's 5 minutes or 22 years, it feels the same. When you're given the opportunity, say the truth. When she says to you, I want to move, you know, that's where you have to just say, hold on, you look in your pants, you see what you got down there, and you say, you look her right back, and you say, I don't want to move.
Well, this is all good in your fantasy world, but it didn't happen that way. But that's all right. If that makes you happy to think that's the way it is.
No, here's what happened. I said to my wife all along, like always, because I'm just like Doug Christie, you know, whatever you want, darling, thinking that she'll never, you know, she talks this way all the time. Like, wouldn't it be great if we had an apartment like when we were first married? And wouldn't it be great if we lived in the city? And it's like, you know, everything that stands for is what I'm stand against now. That I like living in seclusion. I like the fact that I don't know the neighbors' names. I like that I wave and but I like that
splendid isolation.
I like
you would I have been confident you would not know the neighbors' names of any place we ever would live.
I know, but for instance, when we had that apartment in New York. You know what I mean? You walk into a building, you got forced conversation with people. Mm-hmm. It's not like when you're driving by and you see them at the mailbox, you go, huh? And really, there's no nothing in that.
I'm with you on the isolation. I like that.
So anyway,
I like people, but I like living away from
them. And we actually have a very friendly, very close neighborhood, but you're not a part of it.
Well, I try. I talk.
Yeah, you go to neighborhood parties.
I talk to the Vietnamese Catherine Zeta-Jones, she might move her fondue party because I can't attend this weekend.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a party this
weekend. How suburban is that?
Were you supposed to tell me about a party this weekend, or was this the one you were invited to?
No. She called up and she said, are you guys going to be available this weekend? And I said, no, I'm doing this thing. And she said, oh, it's too bad. I'm making your favorite.
Vietnamese fondue. I'd appreciate if you just passed on a little bit.
She said she'd call back.
What's Vietnamese fondue?
I don't even know, but she's a great cook.
Even when somebody says they'll call back, just mention it to me. I mean, we don't have enough to talk about, so you could include that. I mean, it's not like we've got so much conversation happening between us.
But, you know, we do have conversation happening between... The problem is, when I tell you things, you ask too many questions. Like, somebody called today with a very simple... It was a call that... And I thought, I got the call, and they said, is Frida there? I said, no. I said, can I help you? And they said, yes. Blah, blah, blah. I said, great. Thank you. Hung up the phone. Called her on her cell.
When you called me, this
five
person,
seconds
I had called
later
to correct five. Our address because they had sent the
5 seconds later. I called her up and I gave her the message verbatim.
The message made no sense. The message you said. Oh, they said they got your message and they'll send you a check. What for what? I mean, expecting a check.
That's the message that she left. I'm telling you, the reason you can believe that it's true is that it's all I could remember because you have me so trained now. If somebody calls with a message,
you are the worst. I mean, you don't remember anything. The messages you give me are usually, here I am telling you to tell me stuff, but they're usually worse when you tell me stuff because then I get backwards information. It's like living in a bizarro world to get a message.
So when are you guys moving to the city?
We're not. And not, she only wants to because she's going through this phase.
No, see, you don't. You're kicking me off, and I was being a good wife, and you don't even get the concept. I said, here's something I'm thinking about, not here's something we have to do. What is your opinion? You told me your opinion. You would prefer to stay here. Well, that's fine. I don't come to you after I've made a decision. That wouldn't be a good marriage. You, on the other hand, make decisions autonomously and then come to me.
Me the man, though.
With the fallout.
Me man.
No.
Me
you
man.
Are too, you're not, you're the opposite of being a man. That's being too chicken to discuss it.
Well, no. What do you say? Are you calling me the opposite of a man? Because I...
When you do that, and it's a decision that usually, well, say it involves something at work. You don't say that. Come to me and say, what do you think? You come to me.
Like about what?
Give and me, it's a give done
me
a, deal.
Give me a hard example. Are you talking about content? Or are you talking about what are you talking about?
A lot of times, you if you want something to happen at work, you'll make it happen by just going on the air with it. Or, you know, even yeah. something you want to happen in our personal life.
Yeah.
And there is never a discussion with me prior to that. It's left to me to...
No, because then it's not spontaneous and people are not hearing it as it's really happening. And I just want to say something. The greatest perk of all of having a radio show, the greatest perk, besides being able to laugh every day and come to work every day and make decent money and be happy at work, the greatest part is that If you've worked yourself into the position like that, you can argue with your wife on the radio.
But
and then I get home tonight, and there's nothing.
Because I'll be at school. But if I operated like you, what I would do is I would have gone somewhere. I would have put our house on the market. I would have signed a contract, and then I would have let you know. Deal with it. That's the way you deal. I, on the other hand, come to you while I'm still thinking about it to discuss it with you.
Now, here's the thing, though. The thing that I do that you say it's headstrong and that I'll just do it, you know, most times it works out for me, and I, with the exception of one car 20 years ago, I've never done that to you. I've effed up a lot, but I've never gone out and bought a house and just said to you, oh, it's
you. You couldn't buy a house if your life depended on it. You would never move.
You love to tear me down.
Huh?
You love to tear me down.
Is that not the truth? I mean, every time we've gone to settlement on a house, how long have you stayed?
When we've gone to settlement,
yes.
Not long. I come in and sign the papers and leave.
Right. Mm-hmm. You don't like the whole process, so you
Correct.
Wouldn't move. No, that's a bad example for you.
No, honey, listen. I've had this thought before. What would I do? What would I do if you died? And it's a thought that you know doesn't come to me often.
You just go to sleep with a smile on your face when you're thinking
that. If that was the case. I would do, you know, and I always tell my wife, this is the answer, hire somebody. And she always says, where are these people? I know there's some guy somewhere. You just got to say, listen, my wife has controlled the finances in our
home. They're called managers.
You know, for 22 years because I'm bad with money. Mm-hmm. Here's the stuff.
They're called managers.
Right.
Do it.
And then that guy.
The guy takes you for, you know, everything you got.
That guy would be living in the Caymans.
Right. He's in the Caymans and you wake up one day and you're
All right.
Billy Joel.
All right, darling.
And you're rooming with Mike.
All right. Well, sorry. No, I'm not sorry I called because I wanted to ask about the clutter with the CDs.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And Buzz does watch more TV than I do.
All this stuff is just bubbling beneath the surface. You're lucky I'm busy now.
Yes. Boy, aren't I. Boy, aren't I.
Right.
Boy, aren't I
lucky. All right.
Okay, I love you.
I'm
praying. Come on, who's proud of you?
Huh?
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, you know,
you're out there getting it done.
Say I'm even suspicious that you're happy that I'm not home a lot anymore.
What's to be suspicious about?
You just seem to be enjoying the fact and not missing me one little bit. But that's all right.
You know what it is, darling? I've told you this. I'm not the same person that you married. I'm self-sufficient now.
Hmm.
You know, I'm having an affair with. He's sitting in the room right here, honey.
Hi.
Well, I know that. I'm dealing with that.
That's a love that I've never seen before. Or right. want to.
No, exactly. Listen, here's the thing. What do you want me? I got to take a break here. What do you want me to do? You go to work. You leave. I've tried to be supportive. This is where you can't win. I try to be supportive. I say, I'm so happy for you that you're getting your life together and that you're doing what you want to do. And I support you no matter what you do. I'm happy. And she says, are you doing okay at home without me? Like I'm 5 years old. And I say, no, I'm doing fine without you.
It's like you're a latchkey husband now. I worry about you.
Why are you worrying about me? Worry about yourself. I'm fine.
You're not good. You're not good at taking care of yourself. So I think I love
you. I just went to the doctor today. I'm in great health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I don't mean physically. I just mean with the mechanics of life about doing stuff. You know,
listen, I don't want to be married to my mommy. I'd rather be married to.
Well, I left you alone, and remember, you didn't know you had to open the flue on the fireplace, and you were calling it the flume anyway.
Honey, how many years ago was that? How many episodes ago was that?
Well, you're lucky to be alive.
We've had a lot of things like that. That things, you know, you're not good. I mean, but when you have to manage.
Why do you just tear me down on a national radio show?
Oh.
Why do you just tear me down?
All right. Well, I'll talk about what you are good at. You're a creative genius, I think.
Well,
hey, he's liking this. He's smiling.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, how does sure. how does this help around the house?
You're in the best shape that I've seen you probably ever. You are a handsome, smart, kind, wonderful hearted man. Your
great.
Creative
let's,
side of your brain.
Let's end it there.
Is works 100%. You amaze me.
That's
all the
a good
time.
Place to stop.
You just stop
mm-hmm.
right there.
Okay.
That's
just
beautiful.
Stop there.
That's
all right, good.
And be happy with the fact that I'm happy that you're happy.
Okay, good.
And I'm fine. You know, Rob will tell you when I call
Rob will tell you
when I call Rob at night when you're not at home when you're working or something. I call them up and I say, you know, damn, I miss that girl.
Oh, I've heard it a dozen
oh,
times.
Oh, you do not.
I do, too.
I hear it every night.
You check our phone records.
Rob, get the cigar boxes out of his car.
Okay.
All right, that's a good boy.
Jesus. Okay.
All right.
Now, this is what, it's not enough to control me. You have to control Rob as well?
I'm not controlling it. I'm just ordering him. I'm not controlling him.
All right, darling.
You can do it now, or you can do it, you know, in a half hour. It's listen your decision, Rob.
Why would I be...
I don't know why, but I'm over here grinning ear to ear.
Why would I be unhappy that this wonderful woman is out of the house for 5 or 6 hours at a crack?
She sounds happy. Are you happy, yeah. Frida?
I'm yes. very happy.
You sound very happy.
You know, I'm doing a good thing with your cigar boxes, which are just a waste of money. If I really had my way, you wouldn't even smoke cigars.
If you had your way, and if I really had my way,
yes,
your head would be in a bowling bag.
Oh, dear. Oh,
but,
no.
But,
no.
But I go to extremes.
If you let me know the minute you want a different arrangement, baby doll.
The minute I want to cut your head off?
Yeah, you let me know.
Okay, I'll let you know. Because it's always right there. But no, I love you. And I love you. I love everything
that.
About you.
I never say that kind of thing to you, and I don't believe that.
You what?
I never would say that to you.
What, they would cut my head off?
Right.
Well, you just said something that obviously to me affected me as
you're not winning.
What is she, what?
You're not.
I don't even remember what.
What I'm telling you is you're not winning this one.
I said about
cigars. You gotta let me have my cigar. See, this is the problem. Why am I saying to a woman, you gotta let me? You gotta let me have my cigars.
Because marriage is a cooperative effort.
Shut up! Shut up!
Are you talking to me?
Marriage is two
Mike
people.
Is just...
Marriage is two people. It's compromise.
I'm not taking marriage advice from you.
I know these things. Marriage is two people and it's compromise.
And you're telling me that me telling you not to smoke is the equivalent of you telling me you'd like to cut my head off.
Honey, we're on the radio. I'm kidding.
I'm on the radio, too.
Of course, I wouldn't want to cut your head off.
All right. Goodbye.
I promise I would not want to cut your head off.
Smoke, inhale, enjoy yourself. I don't care.
Well, right. Technically now you're even because you both threatened each other with death.
Right. Smoke, inhale, hold it in your lungs.
It's a good day.
So
now you're even. Right. Now I feel like there's closure.
Yeah. All right, baby.
All right.
Listen, look.
Communicating with each other and finding common ground. And what the problem is with so many of these marriages today...
You're listening to an expert now, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, is that you don't find that common ground and you don't do the most important thing, which is communicate. Communicate with mutual respect and
love. How long
have
you been separated this time, Mike?
This time? Well, yeah, a year and a half.
Okay. All right.
So it's mutual respect, it's love, and it's a little bit of admiration.
Yeah, building up each
both,
other.
Building people up.
All right.
That's what makes a relationship
Shut up!
Last. Why can't
Shut
more
up.
People do that?
Shut up!
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I am wearing... a handsome medal from the Special Olympics. Christopher Whitham, stand up here. Christopher was on the championship basketball team in the Special Olympics, and he presented me with his medal. Yes. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you. I am honored. Now, who's our next player, Burton?
That's a feel-good tape.
The Don and Mike Show. The cure for pronated foot.
Still
the Don and Mike Show.
Still don't know what pronated foot is. Anyway, it's the best of Don and Mike Wednesday edition. Thanks for joining us.
Hey!
You!
Oh, get into my car.
It's Billy Ocean.
It's you!
Let him talk.
Get into my car.
Very nice. Okay, moving on with the best of Don and Mike. One of our favorite regulars is, of course, Mr. Tom Gavin.
And, Tom had a bad incident. I guess it was about a year ago. Tom got fired from selling programs at the mighty FedEx Field. The biggest field in the NFL, FedEx Field. And Tom was fired. Here's the recap on the best of Don and Mike.
I don't want to talk to... Well, we have someone who has a lot to say on the topic of Jerry Lewis and the whole telethon.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike on WJFK.
Hello, guys.
Well, hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Don. Hey, Buzz.
Hey, Tommy.
Hello, Tom.
Hey. Tom, how do you feel about Jerry Lewis?
I saw he was sick. They shoot him up with cortisone.
Hey, very good. That's right, Tom.
Yes, now, Tom, you don't have muscular dystrophy.
No, I do not.
Tom, how do you spell fat?
F-A-T.
Very good.
How do you spell Jerry?
J-E-R-R-Y.
That's great. How do you spell obese?
O-B. O-B.
Ob.
How do you spell Ed McMahon? Take it word by word. Ed.
A-N-D.
Mm-hmm.
Mick. Mick, like McDonald's.
M-C.
Very good.
Man.
M-A-N.
And how do you spell telethon?
Telethon. T-H-O-N-E-R.
Right.
Phone phoner.
Do you have one, Robbie, or you just...
Yeah, I was going to ask if he could spell telephone, because, you know, he wants the pledges on the telephone.
Right.
Tom?
Yes?
Telephone, Tom.
Spell telephone.
T-H-O-N-E.
Phone.
Right. Now, listen, Tom.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, big game.
Big game.
At FedEx. Mike's...
At FedEx Field. It's the Redskins against the New York Jets.
Yeah, now Mike's coming with me to sit in my seats. Are you going to be working at the stadium tomorrow night?
Hell no.
Why?
Because they only have the school people doing the programs now. They don't need other people like us. And
I don't even want to ask.
Yeah.
How would you categorize like us? What is your group?
Don and Mike.
No. When you're talking about people who work at the stadium, and trust me,
Tom, haven't you worked at the stadium for years?
Yes,
I have.
My wife and I and my son would go to the games when he was still here, and we'd take that escalator up to the club level, and to me it was just, no offense, Tom, the worst place in the world that you want Tom Gavin to be representing the Redskins selling programs, because as you would get off the escalator to what's supposed to be a semi-fancy schmancy level of the stadium, there's Tom. Sweating profusely, steam coming off his bald head going, like a program!
Part of the charm, though, and how many years have you... You've done it for years, Tom.
Yeah, I've done it down at RFK Stadium, and I've done it at FedEx Field.
So did they fire you?
I don't know what the heck they did. They effing fired my ass. Oops.
Whoa! Tom, they really did?
Yes.
Tom, would you have a message for Redskins majority owner Daniel Snyder?
Hey, Daniel Snyder, why don't you hire me back as a program seller at FedEx Field.
I can't believe they fired Tom.
Yeah. Are you sure they fired you, Tom?
Yes.
Did someone call you and say, don't come anymore?
Yes.
Who called you? Did Dan Snyder call you?
No. The guy with the programs.
What did he say to you?
He said, we don't need you. We don't want you back.
Oh, Tom.
Ouch.
Hey, that sucks. That's awful,
that
Tom.
That sucks.
That's awful.
Did you ask him why?
Yeah. They don't need... They said... The sign I put up on the table, I said, programs for $5, and I said, Don and Mike rule on a sign.
Did you say that when you were in the stadium?
No, I put it on the sign, and I put it on the table.
God bless you, Tom.
Well, I hate to think we had anything to do with that, but I want to tell you,
do you think there's any way that they, no, they wouldn't.
No. But however, I'll tell you, Tom, that both Mike and I are very close friends with Daniel Snyder.
Yeah.
And we're going to mention it to him tomorrow night.
Yeah.
At one point during the second, maybe third quarter, what we're going to do is go up to the owner's box. He's going to slip into the pocket of our pants, either my slacks or Mike's, depending on who's got the most keys and change.
Right.
And we're going to carry him out of there, and then we're going to have a little, you know, man-to-hand conversation.
Hey, basic little
persuasion session.
Because what we're going to do is, you know, he's small enough for us to hold him in our hand.
And then at one point, if he's being difficult, we'll threaten to step on him like a roach.
Yeah.
For you, Tom Gavin.
Yes.
Are you still rooting for the Redskins?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
And how many, do you know how many years you've done this, Tom?
I've done it 26 years at RFK, and I've done it in, like 30 years at FedEx Field.
A total of 56 years.
30 years at FedEx has been
and
open
26
as long.
At, no, John, it was 26 at RFK, 30 years at FedEx, which, and Tom, how old are you?
I'm 42.
That's right. He was there when they opened FedEx Field in 1973.
Yeah, he was FedEx is 7 years old.
Right.
Hired
and
by George Preston Marshall.
And I worked down there and opened the damn FedEx Field with what's his name? The old owner.
Jack Kent Cook.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, now there's an owner who hired Tards.
Yes.
There's an owner who saw.
Tom agrees.
He saw the value.
Now you've been fired.
I say you guys fire my. Can I say it?
Go ahead.
The game day programs at FedEx Field, and I'm getting sick and tired of them jackasses telling me what to do.
Go.
I'm coming down there tomorrow night and get my job back.
Good for you.
All right, Tom, we're behind you.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah?
Make sure if you see us, act like you don't know us.
How much was a program? How much did they cost?
I think $5.
Okay, and let's say I wanted to buy 4 of them.
Four?
How much would that be?
$25.
I would have held them on.
Let's say I wanted to buy 3. How much?
$15.
Hey. Let's say I gave you 20. How much do I get change, or is that not enough?
You get $5 back.
Bingo.
Well,
there's no reason this man should be fired.
That's true.
Tom, come down there tomorrow night. You know what? By the time I get to the stadium, I'll take up your cause.
Mike will be nice and juiced by the time we get there.
And also,
you will never be fired from
this
show.
Hey, listen to this, guys.
What?
What?
Channel 10, I'm running for the board of directors, and I need someone to help me write the list. If anybody's out there listening, can give me a call.
You know, we don't have a telethon for Tom.
No, we should.
We don't have a radiothon for him.
Hasn't he really done it? You've been there every year. Hasn't he done it every year?
Yes, even when we were going at RFK, he would still scream my name. Yes, he's been selling programs for the Redskins. Although you
are really bastards for doing that.
Although you have to know at the end of the day. So, Tom, excuse me for a second. You can't hear it.
At the end of the day, then probably the receipts aren't right.
Somebody has to say, Tom, we gave you...
What?
80 programs, and you got
$4.
Hello? But here's the thing, let him be a goodwill ambassador.
Sure. Yeah.
There you go. Hi, Tom.
What?
Hi.
Tom, we think it sucks that you lost your job.
It sucks, goddammit! Yeah.
And we think that the Redskins need to hire you as a goodwill ambassador.
Yeah.
Maybe like the part of the Redskinettes.
And help them out, and do what I like to do Rod's part.
Hey, Tom.
What?
How would you like to Redskinettes?
I'd like to have one of them.
Would you like to
have
her?
I'd like to F them.
Sure, why not?
Good. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, dog.
Hey, Charlie.
Tom, you've lost your job at FedEx Field. That sucks. Whee!
Woo, fancy man!
Hey, Tom, we got to go. What? Take us to break.
Don and Mike, go to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't like it one bit. I tell you, this is just the beginning. Going around breaking street lamps. City property, mind you. Next thing you know, they'll be on motorcycles wearing them leather jackets and zooming around. They'll take over the whole town to reign in terror.
Fine, these are just boys you're talking about. They're only about 8 years old.
Yeah, well, today's 8-year-olds are tomorrow's teenagers. I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud. First sign a youngster's going wrong, you got to nip it in the bud.
I'm going to have a talk with them. Now, what more you want me to do?
Well, just don't mollycoddle.
I won't.
Nip it. You go read any book you want on the subject of child discipline, and you'll find that every one of them is in favor of butt nipping.
Take care of it.
Only one way to take care of it.
Nip it.
In the bud.
The Don and Mike Show. noted Chubby Chasers, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I love this song. It's the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network all across the Fruited Plain. It's your old buddy, Rob Spiewak here, tape jockey, as it were. Actually, I'm a disc jockey because we're playing digital best of on compact disc. Do you care? Do I? I guess not. Moving forward on the best of Don and Mike, Denise McClain is not a populous region of Northern Virginia. No, no. It's A.J. McClain's mother. A.J. McClain was a member of the Backstreet Boys. Remember? Backstreet's back. Oh, yeah? All right, or whatever. I don't know. I didn't buy the records. But Denise McClain wrote a book, and we had her. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Her name is Denise. Denise McClain. It's A.J. McClain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Buzz?
I believe so.
I know you're the Backstreet aficionado.
I know all the Backstreet.
Do we have any Backstreet experts on the show?
I don't think so.
Here she is now. Here is Denise. Hi, Denise.
Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great. We were just talking your book, Backstreet Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Is a, Mike, it's a memoir of a struggle, success, addiction, and triumph.
Wow. And now, these all things you went through?
Well, along with my son, yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, oh, that's right, because he had a drug problem, right?
Right.
Now, is he still a back?
Now it's all coming to me, actually, now that I hear her say that. Now I know the one she's talking about. He's the one that had the little goatee beard thing, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Is he still a Backstreet Boy?
Oh, yeah.
At what point, and I've asked this of the Beach Boys, ma'am, at what point will he be a Backstreet man?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because most guys I know don't ever grow up, so...
Well, your son was the most screwed up of all the Backstreet Boys, right?
The one with the most personality.
The one with the most interesting member, because of his lightning rod personality.
That's a good pick.
He was always very personable and outgoing, and I don't know, you know, necessarily if that led to him being screwed up. I mean, a lot of people have, you know, in that industry, you have a lot of personality and have to be outgoing. The other four boys are as
now,
well.
Denise, let me ask you, and please be honest, and we will plug your book, I promise. Are you one of those moms that took your kid and put him in front of all the auditions and did the JonBenet Ramsey, I mean, not beauty pageant, but are you one of those moms that pushed your kid into that
whole
thing?
Yeah, were you a stage mom?
Not at all, and actually it explains all of that, how he got involved with it in the book, and talks about how I went into musical theater because that was something, a love of mine from a very young age, and went into musical theater, but I never wanted to be on stage. I was always part of, like, the crew. You know, I wanted to paint sets and be a part of that.
Now, you've been on tour with the Backstreet Boys, right?
Yes, I have. I've worked for them and with them since day one, actually, starting out as a guardian for my son and then progressing on through the ranks up to publicist.
Wow. And you're still doing that?
No, I stopped doing that a couple of years ago.
What's the best part of the book?
What's the best part of the book?
Well, what's the most interesting?
What, do you want a page number or what?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends what you're looking for. You can get a lot out
the
of it
dirt.
If you're a single mom.
Hold on.
Talk about that.
Here's what we'd like to know.
Yeah.
Now, the other guy, there were five guys. There were five Backstreet Boys.
Right.
The pretty one. Now, did you ever see him with Britney Spears?
The pretty one. Who are you referring to? They're all good-looking guys.
Hold on, I got my... I'm
right,
sorry,
man.
I got
you got the wrong guy. You're thinking about Instagram.
Sorry.
Man, that was not a diss. I'm sorry. And your son is very pretty. I don't mean that he's not pretty. It's Justin Timberlake was the one with... Right? And now that I'm thinking about it, the Backstreet Boys, the other ones are the guys that came out like puppets, right? And the Backstreet Boys are the guys that had the video where they're wearing masks. Like
right,
Halloween
the
masks?
Back video, like the monsters, yeah.
Right, gotcha. You know what? I think I might have liked them better. For a while, I think I liked them better, and then I liked the other ones better. But then Hanson came along.
Oh wow, dreamy.
Oh please.
So listen, how much your son obviously is got to be worth a few bucks. You as his mom and business partner, are you doing okay money wise?
You know, I hold my own. I'm a mom, and moms always survive, and I've been a survivor since he was, you know, well before he was born, so.
How many records the Backstreet Boys sell, approximately?
Gosh, you know, they sold millions of albums, so, I mean...
I mean, are we talking about 20, 30, 40 million?
Oh, probably more than that. Worldwide, I've heard numbers up to, like, 70 million.
Do you get a piece of that?
Do I? No.
No. It's because you were, like, a PR person for him?
No, no.
There's another thing, and I don't know your relationship with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, this guy is so skeezy. The guy, Lou Pearlman, the guy that, you know, Mike, the big fat guy that... You know,
Yeah. That kind of made the boy bands?
Yeah, that he put together all the bands, and now I hope you're not friends with him, because I can smell the guy when I see a picture of him.
What's your take on the guy, Denise?
Well, I mean, he started out as Mr. Nice Guy, but like anybody else who wanted to make a buck off of something.
Like,
you know,
Hitler.
Yes, and it turned.
Exactly. He started off good.
Sure.
He made good roads.
Yep.
So
he betrayed the boys pretty badly.
Wow. So you don't like him.
How did he betray him?
Well, by really getting everybody to sign contracts that weren't really up to par and not allowing people to get legal advice, you know. Because he portrayed being the big papa image and the nice guy and the I'll take care of you guy.
Well, now, as the mom, didn't you get to see any of the contracts or look at the paperwork to see that your son was, I'd be guessing you're saying your son was getting...
I'm not a lawyer.
He was getting screwed with this. Well, you know how much, like for every CD, how much he got?
Oh, I don't know I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I mean, I know that, you know, they eventually took him to court, which was public, you know, that was public knowledge. And
were you a permissive mom?
Permissive?
Yes.
No, not really. Never got into that too much.
Where's, if you don't mind me asking...
Uh-huh.
Where's the mister?
Actually, I just got married November 1st. Remarried.
Oh,
I meant the
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm actually Mrs. Solis now.
Oh, congratulations. What about the other guy?
The first one?
Yeah,
I guess AJ's dad.
AJ's father.
Yeah.
We haven't had really contact for years.
For years. Now, does he get any of this dough and his Backstreet Boys money?
No, Alex and him had a couple of falling outs, and I doubt very much that any of that went back to him, unless that's between him and his son. But
you call him Alex?
Huh?
You call him Alex?
I call him Alex, yeah. That's because, to me, as it explains in the book, Alex and AJ are two different people.
Ah.
So.
Yep. Which is the bad one? Which is the Mr. Hyde?
AJ is definitely the Mr. Hyde.
Is he the one that got into drugs?
That's the way we look at it, yeah.
Alex didn't take the drugs.
Well, I mean, obviously.
Sounds like a little denial to me.
a little kind of weirdness there, but yeah, I mean, if you look at it, we look at it that way, because he definitely was out of himself, yeah.
Now we all hear the stories about crazy things on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, you're a Backstreet Boys mother.
Mm-hmm.
You ever get any action on the road? Anybody ever come up to you and go, hey?
I see a picture in here with Steven Tyler of Aerosmith planting a nice one on you.
I met a lot of great people on the road, met a lot of famous people who I still communicate with. Steven. He calls me mom.
Anybody ever hit on you?
Of course. You know, it's gonna be.
You want to name names?
You ever say yes?
Everybody, you know, tries to get through thinking they're going to get to the boys.
You don't have to name names, but if you could answer Don's question, did you ever say yes?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, of course you did.
What do you expect me to say, guys? Come on.
No, yeah. Of course you did. You ever tongue kiss Carson Daly?
Thank God, no.
Now, when you say the backstage betrayals,
mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the guy like that Pearlman guy, or are you talking about other things?
No, primarily him. Primarily Lou, yeah.
Do you think he ever touched your boy?
If that had happened, I certainly would have heard about it, and he never came to me with...
I heard he's like Michael Jackson. That
huh?
All the boys in his boy bands, I heard.
Oh.
That he's all hands.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never... See, that's something... That part of personality never came out as far as my son was concerned now. I don't know about any of the other boys or what they told their parents, but...
You ever party with the Osmonds, Mom?
No.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your advice for any aspiring stage mother?
Well, I mean, I would just say that you know, all, as I say in the book, all children have some talent or another. I mean, everybody's child is special. And I just think you need to support your child and communicate with your child.
All he went through, would you do it seriously? Would you do it again? Would you do it the same way? Or would you maybe keep him out of it because it messed up his life so bad?
No, I mean, he's still a good person, and it really, he's fine now. You know, he went through a rough patch, but...
How old was it, ma'am? How old was he the first time he told you that he hated you?
That he hated me?
Yeah.
How old was probably, he? You know, a teenager, like every other teenager. Mm-hmm.
And now, please to be a dear and discuss your beauty regimen.
My beauty regimen?
Your, yes. Your daily beauty
we
regimen.
We like to, for any guest on the show, we like to get cosmetic tips.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I definitely, I'm a great believer in... scrubbing my face with a washcloth.
Yes.
To keep it glowing, you know, my skin glowing.
Right, good stuff.
Yes, right.
I use a moisturizer.
What type?
Important.
Can I give him a plug?
I use, can I say a brand name?
You sure can, of course, on this program.
I use the Body Shop brand products because it's pure.
Oh, very good.
Very good. I'm allergic to stuff, so.
Now, do you shower or do you bathe?
I shower.
You shower. Do you ever stop for a luxurious bath?
Yes, actually, I do like to take bubble baths. I have a jacuzzi tub.
Ah. Shampoo alone or shampoo and conditioner?
Shampoo and conditioner.
Very good.
And why?
Now, please to be a dear and give us a synopsis of your favorite recipe.
My favorite recipe?
Yes, because you are a mom of a
bachelor. Oh, gosh. Well, there's a family recipe that we make that's done with a special kind of cabbage.
And cabbage. Yeah, how do you make it?
How do you make it? You cream the cabbage and you add bacon and onions to it.
Sounds fantastic.
So this book, let's talk about projections for sales. I've seen it.
I think we just had a projection.
I've glanced at it, and I would guess, I'm going to say you're going to sell 150 copies of this book.
Well, I certainly hope so.
How many have you sold so far?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the sales statistics for this week, but it's been on the upward trend.
Like,
and we just did Oprah today, so I'm hoping that will boost.
Well, there you
that's
go.
That's a copy that the publisher sent us that's not fancy.
Did you get a galley copy?
Yeah.
Is that what this is called, a galley copy?
Yeah. Right. The galley copy
I've never seen one of those.
Formal cover on it, yeah.
So it does. That's why I was wondering, because I was going to say you're not going to sell a lot of them unless you put a picture of him.
Oh,
on
yeah,
the cover.
No. We have a picture of Alex and I on the cover. You can actually see it on my website.
Very good.
What is that, honey?
That's backstreetmom.com.
And you were on Oprah today?
Yes, Alex and I were on Oprah today.
How was it?
It was very good.
That's wonderful. Well, we hope everybody gets the book. The book is Backstreet Mom, A Mother's Tale of Backstreet Boy AJ McLean's Rise to Fame, Struggle with Addiction, and Ultimate Triumph.
Have you seen the movie Mommy Dearest?
Yes, I have.
Okay, that's one of our favorite movies. It was never like that in the house with AJ, was it?
No.
Okay, that's wonderful.
No.
Well, good luck with
wire hangers at all.
Good luck with the rest of your book tour.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Denise.
Bye, good night. Thanks for coming on the show, Denise.
Thank you for having me.
Bye bye.
Well, that's.
I think we did the best with that. We made pudding.
You guys were amazing.
We made pudding that time out of you know what.
Got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Put it this way. The other night, you know what spooning is, don't you?
I think so.
Spooning?
Yeah.
So he was like whispering, holding me and whispering.
Sleeping spoon.
Yeah, sleeping like spoon stuck, cuddling in bed. Is that what we're talking about?
Right. And we're just about to fall asleep, I thought. You know, he says, I don't want to fall asleep. And so I say, why not? And he says, because then I'll miss you.
Yuck.
The Don and Mike Show. Charmingly ghetto. The Don and Mike Show.
I play that tape of Barbara Streisand and James Brolin for one of our sales managers here, Julie Fullman. She just sexually harassed me in the hallway, so... thank you, Julie. Moving on in the best of Don and Mike. This segment starts out, Don and Mike don't know what to do. There's several directions they can go. As always, I was pulling for the Jerry Lewis telethon tapes, but instead, we discuss phobias on the best of Don and Mike.
Okay. All right, maybe you're not the right person to ask.
Oh, come on now.
Maybe you're not the right person to ask.
Seems to be the theme of today's show.
Well, no.
Marriage and all that, you know, and heads and bags and stuff. That's it.
That was one comment I made.
I'm just joking.
One very astute comment.
Thank you, Buzz. Hey, Buzz, thank you for backing me up.
Certainly.
Thanks. Well, you've never had the thought before.
I never. In fact, I never have.
Hello, Don of my show.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
I just listened to you talk about what you wanted to do, which bit you want to do. I'm a new listener, just started last week, and I would much rather listen to you guys read out any list than have to listen to Schwarzenegger talk.
So the Schwarzenegger bothers you?
Well, not Schwarzenegger in general, but any recorded crap.
Yeah, but it's so funny hearing him. All right, though, thank you. And remember this, on the Don and Mike Show,
your vote means nothing.
It doesn't count.
Yes, Robbie.
What about Jerry?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's Rob's favorite.
Hello.
Jerry.
All right. Jerry. There you go. Yeah. Jerry, go. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Donald.
Yes.
Don and Mike and Rob and Buzz.
Right, we're all here.
That's us.
You've done the list before, and we appreciate the list very much, sir. Can we hear one of them?
I've not done the list before.
No, no, he's talking about, in general, you've done lists before.
Oh.
He wants to hear a list.
We love it. I love all the titles.
But the thing is, did I hear anyone call for a vote?
No, thank you.
I don't believe anyone did. No.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah. Well, here we go. How about we just pick something out of here at random?
Yep, go ahead and get into that divorce file.
Just pull. Now, Mike, I don't know. I'm not necessarily sure if that's going to be the best.
That's
right
okay.
Now.
You know, I'm being selfish, and I'm probably not thinking about entertaining the listeners.
What we have here.
For my own personal good. Personal well-being.
Yeah, Rob's pushing his agenda on me, too.
Rob's over here. The Jerry takes at you.
Now, Rob, look at this. See, I already got, we got this bit we want to do here.
Yeah.
We got this bit we want to do here. We ain't got time for this.
Well, this is a matter of urgency because we're almost out of the Labor Day season.
Not to be confused with the, it backs right up to the holiday season.
All right, I'm going to give you just a wild card one then.
Wild, but
know that I'm doing the show prep. I'm doing the work.
Oh, yeah, it's obvious.
I mean, I'm trying to do better.
I think you're doing a fine job.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we got too much.
Yeah.
Too much S.
That's what it is.
It's
too much.
Phobias.
Ah, good choice.
I'm gonna go to the phobia list. Mike, you'll get over it.
Okay, no, I'll be all right. I'll be
and
fine.
Incidentally, you're number 7.
What's that? I'm on the phobia list?
No, on the most expensive divorces.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And number 10.
Oh, dear. Okay. Touche.
Can you name this phobia?
All right.
I'll tell you it's a phobia that is befallen a few members of the engineering staff.
Okay.
And let me just say, not Wendell.
All right.
Okay?
Very good.
It's a blubatobia.
Fear of. I'm. You know, you're setting me up to be cruel here, and I don't want to.
No, I'm not doing.
Fear of weight loss.
No.
Rob, you don't need to laugh that loudly,
I'm sorry.
Please. I'm in trouble already.
No, Mike. It's a fear of bathing.
Oh, well, we both made friends then.
Okay. How about, let's see.
And incidentally, we are fat guys still. We can make fat jokes.
That's right. Yeah, hold on. Let me get one here for you.
And you know, if you're going to go through these, I don't want to. It helps if you put it in perspective like you just did for me to guess the phobia.
Okay, well, unfortunately, a lot of these are going to be applied to members of the engineering staff.
Oh, no.
It's just the way. How about basnophobia?
Basnophobia?
Basnophobia.
Fear of good music.
No, that's an inability to stand up.
Really?
That's a phobia.
Basnophobia. Wow.
That's a real...
Like you're so paralyzed with fear that you can't stand?
That's right.
Fascinating. Wow.
That's right. Okay, here's one for a guy who used to work here, who used to suffer from this.
Okay.
I'm not going to say his name, but what he suffered from is charophobia.
Marty Basnophobia.
No, come on.
What is it?
Charophobia, C-H-E-R, and it has nothing to do with share, or it's charophobia, share or charophobia.
Mm. Charophobia.
Mm.
I would think chair, derivative of cherub. That's what I think. Angel, like
no.
Little... No,
nope.
Not a fear
no,
of babies.
Somebody used to work here.
It's Andy. Is it Andy Rice?
It's gaiety. Fear of gays.
Fear of homosexuals. Well, I thought that's homophobia.
Well, no, but it's different because it's not. It's I'm trying.
Fear
to
of gaiety, it. Like gaiety being happiness.
Yeah, right.
Ah. Fear of being happy.
Right. Never mind.
Well, that's everybody that's ever worked here.
Here's one. Here's a hint for you.
Good.
Alan Linewand is immune to this one, to this phobia.
Okay.
Not a chance. If you have cremophobia. Cremotophobia. And your hint is that Alan Linewand will never catch this phobia.
Fear of being cheap.
You're close. It's a fear of money.
Fear of money.
Fear of money.
Hi, Alan.
Let me see.
How about... Well, you're going to get this one from the name of it. Now, here's what I'll tell you that I have. Okay. Denipophobia. Denipophobia, and I have it, not as a goof.
Fear of the ass.
No. Buzz, you want again?
The fear of dentist, I don't know.
Fear of dinner conversation.
Ah.
That's true.
Do you really have that?
You know me, I'm not a social person. I would say I'm a... Well,
phobia.
Hold on, here you go. I'm trying to find one for... Mike, do you know what urotopia is? Urotophobia?
Urotophobia?
Oh, yes. That is, you're afraid of female genitalia.
Wow.
Now, here's one you got, Mike.
You're not afraid.
Like I said, that one about myself, this one I mean for you. Gamophobia.
That's a popular one. I've heard of that.
Gamophobia. You could be on the posters for this.
Well, it's not fear of flying, which
you
have.
No, but you could be on the posters for this. Gamophobia.
Something I fear.
Yes.
Something I really fear.
Yes.
Fear of alimony?
Close.
Fear of sobriety?
Fear of marriage.
Well, I am on that poster now. Yeah.
Here's one that Jim McClure would have.
Big Gum Jim.
Genophobia. Genophobia.
Genocide, maybe.
No, you're so wrong.
It doesn't sound like
Jim.
No,
it's fear of chins.
Fear of chins?
Fear of chins.
Genophobia.
Okay. How about... let's see. We got all the homo ones here. Ifipalophobia. Robbie, you got the pronunciation on that? Looks like Mr. McZipalix.
Ifipalophobia?
Ifalophobia, I think. Ifalophobia.
Fear of lisping. Ifalophobia.
Fear of...
Well, that's a big, big phobia.
Erect. Seeing. Thinking. Touching.
Fear of it. I don't understand the erect in there.
I'm just reading them, Mike. I'm not writing them.
So is it a fear of the male appendage in that state?
It is. Well, it's
apparently a variation of it.
Seeing, thinking, having. Here's one that...
Like my favorite joke, reminds me of my favorite joke.
Which is?
About the college co-ed that goes into the biology class and the professor asks her to write out on the... draws it in a full state of... attention,
right? Correct.
And the professor's... have you given it away now?
Japanophobia.
Fear of Japanese people?
Correct. And color me guilty.
Oh, stop it.
No. Color me guilty.
No.
Hey, Rob.
Yes?
I hope you're on meds for this.
What's that?
And I swear to God, I'm not making these up. This is from networkofminds.com, the world's greatest phobia list. It's got over 5,000 phobias.
Wow.
Judophobia.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So I don't think it requires any explanation. No?
Fear of Jews. You're right. You wouldn't have that. You're not afraid of them, Rob.
No,
right. Let me see. Okay, here's one.
Uh-huh.
Here's one for... Who haven't we picked on today?
Who haven't we picked on? That's a loaded question.
In the staff? Among ourselves, who haven't we picked
Buzz
on?
Buzz has not had a phobia assigned to him yet. No,
Buzz, congratulations. The doctors tell me that you have metal mal... Malkophobia.
Metamalkophobia. I don't know what that is.
That is you're afraid, you're scared you're going to lose a...
That's you wouldn't want to lose that.
No. Mickey, don't
I think
lose.
We should all be afraid of that.
I think so. Here's something that I know I'm not afraid of, and I know you're not either. I'm a fan.
One, origamophobia. It almost sounds like Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, but it is one, irogomophobia.
Christensen.
I'm doing my best.
One, armor.
Anyway, it's a fear of.
Really? Anyway.
Who's afraid of.
Afraid.
I say bring them on.
Mm-hmm. The merrier. I like two or three a night.
And I like having them when I'm awake. Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to find one more. One more. There's kissing, love, thinking, wealth, beards, politicians, the color purple. These are all things. These are all things people are afraid of. There are phobias of.
What's that? Fear of bad Whoopi Goldberg movies?
Mike, what about if you have scabiophobia?
You're afraid of picking scabs.
No, you're afraid of scabies.
Scabies.
Rightly so. Yeah. What if you have? Here's now an even. Satanophobia.
Fear of the devil.
Yes. And what if you have rectophobia?
Fear of your own butt.
You're afraid of getting a disease, a rectal disease.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have puppaphobia?
You're afraid of puppets.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That is correct.
Puppaphobia. I like puppaphobia, too.
Yeah.
What do you think I am, some kind of puppaphobic?
What if you are...
I think a lot of people have puppaphobia.
What if you have spermophobia?
You're afraid of
That's right. You're afraid of. What if you have urophobia?
You're afraid of urine.
No, you're afraid of Europeans.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm kidding. No, of course.
Thank you.
Of course, it's urine or urinating.
Yeah, and of course, if you were afraid of urines,
virginophobia.
Phobia or phobia?
Phobia. Hmm. But it has a T-I. It has virgin. And then IT phobia. Virginophobia.
Virginophobia.
Okay.
Fear of deflowering a virgin.
No.
Fear of being deflowered.
Fear of rape. Of rape. Well, I was like ending on a high note.
There you go. That's a pick me up.
Here you go. Here's one that I think. Hey, let's hear it. Let's hear it for our phobia of the day. Now I gotta get it. See, I've done this alphabetically, and I'm all the way down to the V's now.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go, Mike. How
about
you
get down to the V's?
How about? Oh gosh, ideas, knees, large objects, left side, fun, fur, nakedness. Oh, here you go. What about if you suffer from osphresphobia?
Fear of watching the Osbournes?
No, that is fear of your own body odor.
Oh, well, I mean, I think everybody should have a good, healthy fear of that once in a while.
Of course,
if you had a fear, you wouldn't check yourself.
I got a million of these. Buzz, let's just see if you happen to know what parentophobia is.
Fear of parenthood.
No, it's a fear of young girls.
Another silly phobia.
Right, thank
Watch
you, Buzz.
It.
Thank you, Buzz. We'll come back to this another time.
Very good.
As I said, there's like 5,000 of them. And Mike, one that I know, hey, who can't? Imagine this, in our society, you go to a doctor, and the doctor says, I'm going to have to put you on meds because you suffer from A-R-A-C-H, I-B-U-T-Y, Arachabooty?
Nice.
R-O. Arachabooty row.
I just like having you read them. Arachabuterophobia.
And now hold on. Now someone's going
to. Arachabuterophobia.
Someone's going to point out here. I'm horrible at pronouncing. there is no pronunciation guide here. Hello, hey, Melissa?
Yeah.
You're horrible at listening. There's no pronunciation guide on these things. How would you pronounce A-R-A-C-H-I-B-U-T? Y-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A.
Well, I can't remember all those letters in my head. At least you get to
Wow, but you're the big critiquer.
I'll give you an easy one.
Well, no, I can pronounce things.
I'll give you an easy one. One that doesn't have quite as many letters. How about... Oh, here you go. O-C-T-O-P-H-O-B-I-A.
Again, I forgot the letters, but it sounded like octophobia.
See, that would be correct. That would be, and I knew that one, octophobia.
Well, that's very easy. But, I mean, that's okay. I just, whoever's decision was to let you read them was a pretty good decision, because that's pretty much the funniest thing about this whole bit, is that you can't pronounce the name.
This whole bit.
Uh-huh. This comedy sketch?
Did I mention the one? We're going to have to delete this out. But T-C-H-O-B-I-A? I hope enough of that got through before I had to... Did I mention that?
Not yet.
I just did. Honey, a lot of them are, you're pointing out the obvious. Like the guy who pointed out...
Yes, it's another... And now it's a Mrs. Obvious Award.
Yeah, the guy that pointed out when I put my wife on the area, I put myself in a Jim Belushi situation.
Right.
Yes. Same deal with me reading this. You're stating the obvious. That's the funny part. But thanks. Thanks for pointing that out. Tell me, will you be calling Jay Leno tonight and pointing out the funny parts of his show?
I don't watch Jay Leno.
Okay. Good. All right. Can you go now?
Sure.
Okay, bye.
Can you?
I can.
Can you? And before you go...
Might be too late.
She's gone.
God.
All right, so how would you pronounce A-R-A-C-H-I-B-U-T-Y-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A?
I'd have to have a big, stiff drink before I...
And you're going to have to... You're going to die when you hear what it is.
Yeah, probably.
You got a guess?
No, I have no idea.
Spider. No, how to say it, though.
Yeah, no, I wrote it down, and I can't pronounce it.
You have a phobia of having peanut butter stick to the roof of your mouth.
Oh, God.
And for that...
Sounded a lot. That's too big a word for that.
For that, they gave it that word.
It's simple. It should be skippy-phobia.
They gave it that word.
Right. That's all you have. Jiffy-phobia.
That's right. Peter Pan-phobia.
Now, don't get crazy. Is that your favorite flavor?
Yeah, it is. I do like me the Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
All right, we got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
My husband's a very important man. Very busy at the office. Can't do without him. I'm very grateful he's giving me this much time.
The Don and Mike Show. More entertaining than a litter of acrobats. Don Geronimo and...
What? Start that again.
Oh, my God.
Better.
It's Don and Mike.
Nice CD player. Got a plasma set in the air studio, but CD player doesn't work. Welcome to WJFK. Now let's take another page from the Don and Mike history book for this edition of the Best of Don and Mike. I think most of the listeners know that Mike owns a fabulous 5-star restaurant in Manassas, Virginia. But there was a time when he didn't. This is the announcement of when Mike bought the Look Around Cafe. It's Mike's new restaurant on the Best of Don and Mike.
The news that I've been waiting to share with everybody.
Yes.
I'm so proud, so happy for Mike.
Thank you.
Finally, Mike O'Mara's Look Around Cafe is going to be a reality.
It is. I'm very excited about it. Very excited about it.
Hey now, Mike.
It'll be rotating, and it's not a rooftop, but it's on the ground floor, and we have the backing for the actual look around. No, there will not be a rotating floor.
But you have invested in...
I have acquired an ownership interest in a restaurant.
And
yes.
You are putting your name on the restaurant.
I am indeed. Eventually.
Mike's Look Around
Mike's
Cafe.
Mike's Look Around Cafe is what it's going to be called. And very, very excited about that.
Well, congratulations.
But, it's fun. It's a lot of work. It's very, very exciting, and I'm really pretty obsessed and passionate about it. I really am.
We have not had this.
Even though I don't, have anything to do with running it, really.
No, but here's the thing. Here's why you should, though.
Mm-hmm.
You should be the guy that's there in the evening. You should be there...
I am
nursing a drink at the
I'm
bar.
Actually that's I mean, you know what, as you know, having known me as long as you have, you know that is not something that I find daunting at all. That's something I find rather easy to exist at a night spot and and sip a cool beverage and you can you can find me there more often than not.
So you say, well, maybe...
You remember when Dean Martin was at that Italian restaurant? I don't think he owned it, but he was there every night, right up until his death.
Yeah.
I think that's where you can count on me,
So let's say that someone
sang a little karaoke last night.
I don't know about you, but I'm in the mind for some fried steak and gravy tonight. Uh-huh. Oh, gosh, I don't know.
We need fried steak and gravy. Chicken fried steak.
I'm just kidding.
Chicken fried steak?
Yeah, I'm just kidding here about what the food...
I'm not.
I Me, I
want. I don't. I think I that's not on the menu.
No, okay.
To the best of my knowledge, I don't know the menu off the top of
well,
my head.
Well, whatever it is you're looking for,
the American fare.
I'm looking for a great grilled
steak,
a great grilled cheese sandwich.
Mm.
Think now, where am I going to go? Citron downtown. That place is always jammed.
Right.
Go out to Tyson's, to the Capitol Grill. No, you know what? Where's that Michael Merrill look-around cafe that I've heard of?
Thank you.
And you know what?
I appreciate that.
And I think,
you know what? I look forward to months and months of enjoying the same kind of publicity that you gave me when I went with my other endeavor, the band.
No, this is my serious advice, that the place should be, come down, and I give no comment on the food.
I believe you're setting me up for a pressure position where I would have to be there every night.
Well, part of the charm is
I'm afraid that's impossible.
You never know when Mike's going to be there.
That's right, exactly right.
And you got to make some appearances.
Mm.
I'd
do it gladly. I'd be hanging out there anyway.
So there, see, that's all I would say.
I'd be hanging out there anyway. Hung out there last night.
There you go.
Well, I'll hang out there. I'll be there tonight. Wow.
So now, see, now
there today all day.
Let's say that I'm out.
Exhausted.
I'm out with the family, and I'm thinking, you know, boy, grilled cheese would be good right now. Mmm, there's IHOP. But wait, you know what? Hold on.
James.
Maybe Mike's at the look around tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, gang, you want to go to the look around?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, let's go to the look around. Yeah.
And you know what? I never want to hear you call it anything else.
I won't.
I swear. I know you won't.
I haven't.
And I know you won't. Rest assured you won't.
Will you ever, like, buy someone a drink because it's your place?
Yeah.
Give this guy a drink?
Yes.
Office?
Rob, absolutely. Rob?
Yes?
Count on it.
Cool.
Absolutely.
All right, well, now tell you.
Rob, I know you can. You also will always refer to it as the cafe.
Sure.
And, you know, for you guys, it will.
Look around cafe.
You know, and as far as the names, I don't want to talk about that because we have a name right now, and I'm not even going to mention it because you call it the Look Around Cafe.
But you have
I call it Brady's.
For now. But the
for
name,
now.
The
for
name,
now.
I'm not going to say what the names. Okay.
Right.
Oh, they don't.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
For now, it's Brady's.
You know, you gotta go over
named
everything.
After the bus.
You gotta go over every single detail of you. Just
that's right.
It's. But you know, maybe Don, everything could be changed, and we could call it for you the Le Grand Cafe, and I could get the rotating floor.
You don't see the
even though architecturally it would be a physical impossibility.
The beauty is you don't need it. You don't need the floor. You go with the name. You just Mike's Look Around Cafe.
Mike's Look Around Cafe.
That would be. And now,
how wonderful would that? Because it's such a the name just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, the Look Around Cafe.
It really does.
Musical. Hey now. So when do you think? I know you've been negotiating with your other guys. How long until you're actually? Well, you were telling me you were in there today, right?
Yeah.
And you were you're savvy enough now. You're management type enough. You can go in. You go on the passcode, you can, like, see if somebody's stolen a bottle of Heinz 57 from you?
Yeah, you might say
you
so.
Can do that? You can,
I don't know yet.
You can go and say, you know, we are missing two of those restaurant-quality bottles of Goulden's hot mustard.
Stop him before he gets to his car. Tackle him around the No, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
If you're lucky enough to be working there right now...
Uh-huh.
Make sure you got a receipt for every single dime that you
best.
Get.
Yeah.
If somebody tips you 20, you got to get a photocopy of them tipping you the $20 bill.
Of the bill. That's good.
Everybody wants to help.
Everybody talking right now will be there. it will be there when it counts.
Yeah.
Now, because believe me, there will be a day where I'm going to call on you. This is not like the band.
No. I was going to say.
This is not like the band.
Unlike your band,
okay.
I'll be there on opening night.
Yes. Yes, you will. I want everybody there. I want everybody there.
You bet.
I'm very, very excited about it. I am.
Holy Christ.
You know what? I'm gonna get tables for you and your lovely bride. And I'm gonna get tables for you and your lovely bride, and I'm gonna put them on opposite ends of the room.
Now, not to be selfish, have you looked into about serving Bex?
I forgot to do that. I'm sorry.
Really, priority.
I understand. I think you're okay.
Good.
I'll check, but I haven't checked.
Michelob Ultra.
I'll come anyway.
Yeah, on tap.
Good. Why would you not want Rob and I sitting together?
Because I'd look over at you. I wouldn't be thinking about anybody else except you guys.
You know, even if you try to
look at the giggling, I would look at the whispering. I would be, you know, and I know you'll be together. I know you will be together. I will have an individual. I will have a specific. training ritual for that table that particular night. I'm going to say, now listen, there are four people coming in here that you're going to have to spend extra time with.
Should be our table.
Mm-hmm.
Should be our booth.
Mm-hmm.
A booth? A table?
Would you like a picture of you and me in there?
Well, now, there should be...
I think there should be.
If there's a picture of me in there, that's mm-hmm. that's up to you. But I'm not kidding you. The sign outside should be like one of those Eat at Joe's signs
right.
that has your face.
Can't do it.
Right in the middle.
Unfortunately, can't do it.
Why?
You know, it's an old town Manassas. It's got restrictions.
They rules.
About,
well, there's got
they do, and I have not even gotten anything that we were talking about done yet, so I don't know.
Well, there's got to be a way that the place is, everywhere you look, you see your face.
There's always a way.
Count on it.
Hey now.
Then, you know, you can mock me all you want.
I'm not mocking you.
You know how much I'm in love with this little endeavor.
Joe, I know you are, and I am not mocking you. What, Jaden?
Will you dress like Al Molinaro in Happy Days with the apron and the white T-shirt?
I think we perhaps are, now that you're joining in, not portraying the type of image that I wish to, Joe. No, it's not Mel's effing diner. And thanks for Joe for cementing that image.
How would you? Well, Mike, let's describe the decor. Of the,
it's an Irish pub.
Of the look around cafe.
It's an Irish pub. That's exactly what it is.
Is it a peanut shell on the floor type place?
No. No, it is not.
It is not.
No. That would be like a roadhouse.
Are pants optional?
Depends on what time of night you come in there.
How many bathrooms does this place have?
Two. A men's room and a ladies' room.
So two bathrooms. What's the capacity?
That you got me on that one. I'm not sure what it is off the top of my head. I don't know. I really don't know.
Give me a ballpark.
Oh, five. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't know. We just got an order of 90 bar stools and 90 chairs.
Ah.
So if that gives you any idea, you know, a couple hundred people. You'd have to get permission to put this person on the air?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hold on.
Now, I have no idea where he's going with this. Do you?
No idea at all.
Someone who I think can help you. Oh, hold on. Let me try the home number. Right. Hold on.
Somebody who can help me. This, I think, I just have a hunch, I have a gut. This has potential to be a horrible moment for me right now.
Well, you know, everybody wants to help.
All right, hold on now.
I understand.
I've got a ring. You know, this really stinks, this thing. You got to get someone's permission.
You say that every time we do that.
Yeah, hold on. I'm getting the machine.
Okay. Will we know when you leave the message?
Well, it's going to be awkward for me.
Right.
But I'm doing it for you.
And I'm gonna scream at you. And if I scream no, everybody will understand. What are you doing?
No.
I'm totally lost. I don't know what's going on.
Wait, will you finish recording? Please hang up. Press one for me.
I hate all the instructions. We don't need them anymore.
If you got a callback number, press five.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the beep. Hi, Leah. Dr. Geronimo.
Oh, God.
No. I know you hate us and that we haven't talked for a long time. But is Angelo there? She's not there. I'm just leaving a message.
Right.
Is Angelo there? Angelo, if you're there, would you pick up, please? Angelo? I don't know. Angelo Pagan from Vivian's restaurant?
Right.
Michael Mara is also opening a restaurant.
Do you identify yourself?
I said this is Don Geronimo right up front.
Okay, very good.
You know, the disc jockey that you hate. Anyway, if Angelo ever could call in, Mike has bought a restaurant.
Get some advice.
Yeah, and Mike needs some advice.
See, I thought I'd be upset with this call. This is a very valuable
sure. Okay, call. Thanks. Thanks. Bye. Sorry that we got that whole thing going where we hate each other. Bye-bye.
There you go.
That was nice.
What a wonderful excuse to open the lines of communication up again.
Well.
Very, very exciting.
For my money, now that would be a reason to have Lisa Remedy back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you and she could discuss the restaurant.
The restaurant business.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very exciting. Very, very excited about
that. Okay, well, congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
And anyway, that's the place.
Mm-hmm.
And
Brady's Irish Pub.
And don't
forget, in Old Town Manassas, on Center Street.
The special. Wow, you're bad.
Yeah, well, you know, I figured with all that, I got to get a plug in.
You know,
I figured you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You can color me whore. You know, I'm going to come in. When you see me coming in here with, like, white boots up to my knees and a mini skirt, you know, big hair. Hey, big boy, you want some company? I'm a whore. I'll be your whore. Yeah, very exciting.
Do you have a nice loud bell behind the bar?
Yes, we do.
Good.
Yes, we do.
When do you ring it?
When the bartenders get a lovely gratuity.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
Restroom attendant with cologne?
No.
Someday?
No, I don't think so.
We got a break, and I never do that. I'm going to steal a joke from someone on the phone and give them a prize.
All right, very good.
Matthew, Mike. How much for a rib? Hey, that's too funny. That's too funny.
You know, and that's once again the Mel's Diner reference, too. It all seems to be centering around that.
Hey, Sean?
Yeah.
Sean, that's your joke, right?
That's a good one, Sean.
Man, yeah. That's funny.
That is a good one.
Sean, that's an outstanding...
Pour it in my ham for 15 cents.
Right. Come on, just one rib.
All right. Hold on, my friend. You got... there's something about Mary from 20th Century Fox.
Awesome.
Plus you won, let me see, the Italian Job prize pack, free large pizza from Papa John's. That's from Comcast Cable. You won a four-pack of CDs, Peter Gabriel's hit, ooh, Tom Jones Reloaded, The Best of Donna Summer, and the Who's Tommy from Universal Music, Amazon.com. There you go.
Wow, I hit the mother load today.
All right, thank you, my friend. Good call.
Come on, man, just one rib.
Good joke.
Thanks, guys.
Jericho win.
Hold on a second.
I never know what he says to him.
All right, may I help you, sir?
How much for order a rib?
$2.50.
$2.50? How many ribs do I get with that?
About five.
Five? So I guess that's about 50 cents a rib, huh?
Yeah, about.
Let me get one.
Welcome to the look around.
Right on. One order. One order of ribs.
No. One rib.
One rib.
I sure am hungry.
Make that one rib to go.
One rib?
One rib. What else?
You got any soda?
$1.
Oh, come on now. Look out for a brother, man. Come on. Hey, take this up. Why don't you let me get a sip for 15 cents?
My cups cost more than 15 cents.
All right, cup. Pour it in my hand for a dime.
Look, you greasy-headed Jerry Curl Wan. Pay me and get the hell out of my store.
You got change for 100?
Welcome to the look around, everybody. Check out the rhino.
Yes!
Okay, folks, if you've looked high and low for a cruise ship cuisine on dry land and you like dining in the round, you'll want to come down to Hank's Look Around Cafe. That's Hank's Look Around Cafe, 336 Melrose, where you and your food go on an adventure.
You know, so I was thinking about investing in that. I mean,
really?
The idea of rotating around and looking at the city. Of course, if you're a smoker, you'd have to smoke and then stop and then light up again when you came in your section. But listen, I think it's a great idea. Yeah. Great idea.
You're gonna hit me. You're gonna do something.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. Smokey and the Bandit. That was it. That was a great idea. And Cannonball Run. That was a great idea. Ooh, brother.
Indeed, we're out of time. But thank you so much for sticking around for the best of Don and Mike. I know it's sad that it's over, but here's the good news. We'll do it all again tomorrow. And tomorrow's best of segments include probably my favorite segments in the history of the Don and Mike Show, going all the way back to 1985. I believe tomorrow is the day that we are running my very, very favorite segment. I'd get more specific, but Beth Ann hasn't told me what we're running yet. I'm just going to go with the odds and say we're running the very best of the best of tomorrow. So good night to all of you, and good night to Joan Latta, who is standing without. And stay tuned for the Ron and Fez show on many stations with their crop of young interns in checked pants. It promises to be great. So until tomorrow, this is goodbye. See you then. Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.